All right, meeting call to order at 3:07 p.m. Roll call done by the President Pro Tempore.
Angela.
Here.
Adonis. Ariana.
Here.
Elshima. Evan.
Here.
Giovanna.
Here.
Greg.
Here.
G. Jack.
Here.
James. Jamie.
Here.
Jarrell. Jonathan.
Here.
Carla.
Here.
Kevin.
Here.
Nick. Paulette.
Here.
Me. Here. Liv. Scott.
Here.
Charisse. Tyshawn. Savannah.
Here.
Gabriella.
Here.
Awesome. All right.
The number. He's going to count it for you.
13. That's good?
Yeah.
All right. Good. All right. Acceptance of the minutes. I asked that all you all scroll down to the bottom of your agenda, see if any changes need to be made, and feel free to let us know. Seeing none? Okay. We need a two-thirds majority vote in order for the minutes to be adopted. All those in favor? All those opposed? All those abstaining? Minutes adopted. Okay, administrative reports.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
My name is Mary Elfagon, Director of the Center for Student Involvement. Today is actually going to be my last SGA meeting because I'll be on vacation next week. And it's a good one because I'm going to be up here for a while. So we are here to conduct a focus group, what we're calling them listening sessions, to talk about the student center. And this is a very early phase of a project to talk about what, if we were to have a new student center, what should that include? What's working, what's not working? What would you love to see? What have you seen at other spaces and places? So I have some colleagues that are going to be here to participate and to be a part of this listening session. So this listening session is going to start with a brief presentation. And so we've handed out this form that talks a little bit about the role of a college union. And then, so that's, you could take a look at that and have that for reference. We'll have this brief presentation of what we're going to be talking about, and then I'm going to lead us in a quick discussion about, well, I don't want to jump to quick, but a discussion about what are your ideas, what would you love to see in a future student center, what do you love now about being on campus, that kind of thing. So, without further ado, we will continue with Melissa to do a brief presentation on the role of a student center. Student union, college union.
Hi, y'all. How are you? Feeling good this afternoon? Did everybody get their ice cream? Yeah? Good pizza? Okay, great. We're going to spend just a couple of minutes before we start getting your feedback, setting just a little bit of context around the idea of a student center and what is a student center building supposed to be about. So student unions have been in existence as long as universities have been in existence in America. And the idea from the very start and sort of the core central idea as it continues today is that these buildings are designed to be kind of the heart of the campus, the living room, the community building center of the campus. There's this idea in urban planning called the third place. And the thought is it's not your first place, which is your home, and it's not your second place, which is your work or your academic buildings, you might think of that. The third place is the place where you kind of come together with other people in your community and make connections. And that could be a church, a shopping mall, a Starbucks, a community center, those sort of buildings. And that's what a student center acts like on a college campus. It's sort of that third place for all of us to be and to come together. And so what we want to do today is share just a little bit about that. So the idea of the role of a student union, in addition to being community building, I'm just going to skip back really quickly, is to sort of serve as an inclusive, welcoming space for everyone on the college campus. So there's definitely a dimension about learning about inclusion, respect, differences, all those sort of things. So social justice is often a big dimension of student centers. And in addition, there are places where we really think that students need to be empowered to kind of put leadership ideas into practice and self-governance ideas, exactly what you guys are doing here today. Those are sort of core concepts around student center buildings. Okay, so I want to talk just very briefly about some timeless features of student centers as they are showing themselves in modern architecture, thinking about a new building here. So the idea of a hearth, right? I was just talking about sort of the campus living room, and so that idea of a hearth or the cozy place that you want to be can be metaphorical in terms of a student center and how it's set up, but also can be literal, and we're seeing in student unions now, it's a very literal thing. The fireplaces are everywhere, even sometimes on the outside of buildings. So, but that feeling of a hearth is definitely something that's important. The idea of a beacon, so exterior features that kind of call you to find the building and want to make your way to it. If you think about that clock tower on the top of University Hall, that's a beacon, right? And so you see some examples of beacons on these slides, with that little wing that's coming off of there, even the letters of the institution and the big screen on the side where activity might be happening, you know, sporting events and things like that. Those are kind of exterior beacons. Entrances. So we again, we want everyone to feel like they're welcome to come inside and to make their way into this building. And so the idea of kind of wow entrances are really important to student centers. And not only do we want one wow entrance like this, but we want them on all sides of the building. So no matter where you were coming from campus, you're finding it really easy to make your way into that building and feeling like you're welcome. And I just love this bridge and the idea that we talked about last night. I'm going to pitch this out here just to get your minds thinking a little bit. When we start asking you questions, we want you to be dreaming big, right? We're not. We want to hear what's not working, and you'll get a chance to voice that too. But we're not talking about tiny little tweaks. Think big. Like, what if there was a bridge like that from the top of Car Park D all the way to the student center? Wouldn't that be awesome, right? So. You think about entrances again, on the inside, you can see some of the messaging on those banners that's designed to kind of purposely make people feel like they're welcome. Ideas of transparency, both on the outside of the building and the inside. Again, so you can see and connect with what's in there and feel like it's a place that you want to go. We talk about see and be seen spaces a lot in student centers, and so that's what all that transparency sort of helps facilitate. And what that does is it creates opportunities for happenstance collisions between different people, faculty you might run into that teach you in your class, and now you're in line at Starbucks with them, or different student organizations, and those kind of interactions create opportunities for collaboration and deeper connections, and spaces that feel like you're part of a community. Flexible spaces. So one thing that's almost always at the cornerstone of a student center is it's the place where student life happens. It's all the activities and the programs and events that you all are planning and all the different student organizations. Those are often taking place in a student center, and so you need lots of spaces that are flexible. A lot of different sizes and different uses for your spaces. So I'm giving you a couple of examples here of the way that plays out. Retail, there's always a main street, not always, but mostly always a main street in a student center. Bookstore, super common, right? But check this one out. Banks, postage, think about other kind of services that you might want to engage in. And what could those services be in a student center if we were to create one from scratch today? Food, right? We know the food downstairs, really important feature of a student center, so we certainly want to be sure we're paying attention to that. In terms of offices, as I mentioned, student government is almost always sort of at the core of a student center building because of the very nature of the building. Student organizations, Center for Student Involvement, Social Justice and Diversity, and all those kinds of offices where you might find large groups of student leaders, like orientation programs, for example, or Leadership and Engagement Office, students with disabilities, international students. You think about all those different kinds of, collections of students with various interests and identities, and those are all great opportunities to be in a student center building. What else is in it? Often, lately we're seeing a lot that has to do with wellness. And so some of those ideas on the left talk about ways to approach wellness in a student center building. And then often there are other things in a building like this, and those are sometimes determined based on what's not somewhere else on campus or there's really a need for it. And you know, how can you make that marriage happen? So like, for example, a visitor center. Some campuses have visitor centers, a place where you kind of go to navigate where else you're going to be on campus. But we don't have one of those here. So would this building kind of function in that way? And what would that mean for how it would be designed? So those are just a few thoughts for you to kind of frame your thinking. I'm going to turn the floor back over to Marielle to get your input.
Okay, so to briefly introduce the other folks in the room that are here to listen, to write down notes, we have Frank Cunha from, he's one of the university's architects, Julie Fleming, needs no additional introduction, Fatima Di Carvalho, the Associate Dean of Students, and Sonia Rios from Student Development and Campus Life. So here's where we're gonna get started. Our first question, and all of you in the back, you are a part of this conversation, so please, if you need to come up to look at anything, let us know. So Mark, first question for you is, what are your favorite places on our current campus, and why are they your favorite places? One of the things that we will ask throughout this conversation is not to be too repetitive. So if something you were thinking about has already been said, know that we've captured that and we can think of other ideas. Okay? Yes?
Behind the, I think, cells, there's an area you can see the city. At nighttime, it's really beautiful, very calming to see. And it's just peaceful to sit down and do your work.
Thank you. Yes?
It's why?
Thank you.
The library is specifically the silent study because it gives people that just need a little bit more of like a base concentration.
Okay. The School of Comm, because it's very open and allows for a lot of collaborative learning.
Thank you. Yes.
My club's office space, because it's where all my friends are there. I can go, I can do homework if no one else is there. I can talk with friends. There's a TV in our, we're lucky enough to have a TV, so we can, you know, use a TV for entertainment, stuff like that.
Okay, is there any other feature besides the TV specifically that makes that office good one, other than it's your group and you all know you're going to be there?
It's in kind of a central location on campus, so no matter, like, where we are on campus, the club space is kind of a central space where no one has to walk all the way across the campus to get to.
And is it located in the student center?
Yeah, the first floor.
Great, thank you. Yes?
I've always appreciated the lounges on campus, both in residence halls as well as in the student center and university and the anywhere, just because it's a good space to, you know, whether you're studying or just hanging out. I've always enjoyed having that atmosphere, being able to be surrounded by other people, but everyone's kind of just in the room as well.
So she mentioned lounges. What are some features that you like about, are there particular lounges that you like or that have furniture that you prefer, or an ambiance that you prefer? Yes.
The outlets and the third floor, especially for laptops and things like that. When you're here all day long, outlets are very important, so it's a good feature.
Thank you.
The silent study room in University Hall on the fourth floor. I like to sit in the chairs by the window because then like I get the sunlight and I can look out onto the campus, but also like put my feet up and do homework and actually get stuff done.
Great. Any other places that we love on campus? Yes.
I was going to say the communications building because like the lounge area is like really pretty and creative.
Pretty and creative. Okay, thank you. Yes.
I especially like the library, especially downstairs where you can get your own study rooms.
Thank you. Yes.
ADP Center. There's a jam.
The what?
ADP Center. They have a nice tech jam board that you can have. Like there's an area where you can do like a group setting where you can use it to, you know, kind of like organize and get your project together.
Yes.
The math and science building with the biology entryway.
Thank you. And yes, in the back.
I was going to say the rec center, just because like, I don't know, I just don't know what it's about. It's just in general.
The racquetball courts.
Okay, thank you. Any others? Yes.
I would say the big field out there, because like a lot of people just come in, relax, chill with friends, go play some games and sports.
Okay, great, thank you. Okay, I'm going to move the conversation on to the next question, but before I do, the forms that we distributed, if you didn't get one, we'll make sure we can get them out to you. This is another, on the back, there's a feedback form. So if we move on to a question and you're like, oh man, I just thought of that thing, please write it down because we are going to scribe this feedback as well. So whether you verbally say it or you write it down, we will capture that information. Okay? So my next question for you is, thinking about your organization or you as an individual, in what ways does the student center respond to your needs? What's working well in the student center?
The printing labs are really important. I think that one thing that the student center is missing, I'm not sure if it's in here, but allowing students to borrow computers. I know there's one in university and in the library, I believe, but I think that's really essential and should be there.
Okay, the next question will be what's not working so well. So, but we captured that one. But focusing on what's working well in the building. Yes.
I think the student center, kind of the purpose of it, but it's very useful when you're hosting events and stuff because most people are in the student center. So whether it's a tabling event that's right outside of the food area and everything, a lot of people are going by there. Or even if it's in the ballrooms, I feel like more people are aware of those events than if they take place elsewhere.
So the central location and traffic of the building. Yes?
There's a little known dining room as you're walking out the back of the student center. And it's a hidden gem. It's buffet style and it's the best food on campus.
Good. Yes?
C-store and the bookstore. Since in case there's an event that goes on that we're missing something, we can, instead of like wasting time and going to car park, looking what cars, we can go there and buy what we need.
Thank you. Yes?
Because that's where a lot of the commuters go, eat up the food, just relax before class or after class.
Great. Yes?
The class 1 offices?
The class 1 offices?
I think that's really important to have in the student center because since they're the biggest boards, a lot of students are really interested in to have that in the middle of campus. It's really beneficial.
Thank you.
Having the food in the student center cafe is definitely important.
Any other things that work really well with the student center, or work well with the student center? Yes.
There are a few satellite offices on this floor, and they're really well lit, and they're nice to meet with the professor of the group, a small group of students.
Thank you.
The pantry for students who need food or any type of accessibility to certain things that they don't have privilege to.
So it's important to have it here.
Yes.
Yes.
I think a good addition that they brought in this year was the super.
Sort of flexible spaces, like with the Student Center Cafe on the third floor, the good areas to like get food and relax, but organizations can also use them to host events.
Okay, any others? Okay, now we're going to transition into what doesn't work in our student center. Couple things based on learning from these listening sessions. Again, not repeating, and we don't need the story of everything about why it's not great, because we can pretty much fill in the blanks there. But we want to know, what are the gripes that you have? What are the biggest challenges to this student center? Yes.
Actually, it's not that big of a deal. I was just going to say the elevator takes forever.
No, that's a thing. I don't mean to diminish the things that people have experienced. So thank you. Yes.
As the student body has grown over the last several years, spaces seem to run out a little faster than it has in the past.
Are you referring to like scheduling a space for a program or an event?
Just anything in general, whether it be like somebody who doesn't want to go back to their room, or mm-hmm. a commuter that just wants to hang out somewhere in the student center, or somebody looking for a space to host an event.
Okay. Thank you. Yes.
Disability access, as well as being more friendly to people with disabilities.
Thank you. Yes.
The stairs coming from the first floor to the second floor.
Like, say that again.
The stairs.
Oh yes.
From the first floor to the second floor.
The tiling, the specific tile that they chose in the main lobby.
What about it?
I work for dining services, so I have to push a cart and it makes way too much noise.
Okay, thank you. Yes.
Does spinning door, like, when
you're revolving.
Thank you.
What?
The revolving door.
I have to tell you, we've been doing a few of these, and the reaction we get for the revolving door is one of the more visceral reactions that we get. Yes. So not enough natural light?
Yeah.
Yes.
A lot of places leak. There's just a lot of places
that
leak.
Okay, yes.
Access to water fountains. Some of them are not that nearby. So we have to go to like a different area just to go get it. Like, for example, there's one out here, but let's just say we're downstairs. It's like very far apart.
Okay.
Store on the first floor.
Yes.
Outdoor seating. I feel like that's...
Ariana?
That all the org offices are in a basement. Like, not even just orgs, like, even the SGA office and CSI, like, everything's in a basement, so it's just, like, dull and smoky.
It's an annex. Basement?
It's a basement.
Yes. Yes.
A lot of the doors coming into the center, they're too hard to open, like the side doors. So, yeah.
Thank you. I think I saw a hand in the back. Yes.
I work gender neutral bathrooms.
Yeah.
Got it. Thank you. Yes.
For some organizations like our own, we're finding that office space is a little bit limiting for the amount of equipment we have to use.
So, small office spaces for orgs?
Yeah.
The bigger space.
No, but
the problem.
The problem is small.
Spaces for orgs.
There's water fountains, but there's not water bottle filling stations, filtering stations that they have in one place.
Yes.
The Wi-Fi can be very spotty at times, especially in the annex.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well played. Thank you.
Any others? Okay. Yes.
The tiles on the patio.
What about them?
They creak. They move, and it feels like you're about to fall every 5 feet.
We're taking them all.
I was going to say, how there's even a patio and not, like, easy access from top to top.
You have to go all the way around.
Right?
Access through patio. Okay. Now, we're going to go into a different direction. So we've talked about what's working here. We've talked about what's not working here. Now, scrap this building. Just don't think about this building. Now we want you to think about your hopes and dreams. What have you seen that would be wonderful? What have you dreamed about that would be great? That if you had this in your student center, you would absolutely go back. You would get your master's degree here because you want to have access to whatever this thing is. So share those ideas.
All the way in the back.
Go in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the way in the back.
Yep. Thank you. That was a whole lot. She's been thinking about this one since we started. Yes.
As dumb as it sounds, sleeping pods?
Sleeping pods.
Because a lot of commuters in the lounge that come really early, they are knocked out on chairs. And
yeah.
I feel bad. They're really uncomfortable.
Yep. Yes.
Were you just talking about the student center?
Yes. This is a new student center. Now, a prompt. Thank you for that. Other things that you could be thinking about are... What are some things that we maybe have on campus that you think it would make more sense for it to be in the student center? Or what are some things in the town or in the neighborhood that it would be really convenient and great if we had one of those here? Think big, shoot for the moon. So that.
I was say how at night, the students in the quad, like the field, it doesn't have enough light. So sometimes I'd be walking and I'm like, what if I give up?
Okay, thank you. Yes.
I don't care about that. Hopefully that there should be more bank ATMs, like more access. We won't have Bank of America and I only use PNC Bank.
Thank you. Yes?
Maybe if we had like some fruit trees or something.
Some what?
Some fruit trees.
Fruit trees.
Can I have that indoor?
Yes.
Is this broad with a grocery store?
A grocery store?
A lot of times where as a commuter, my friends who are residents need to ask me to go and get stuff because they just don't have access to it.
Okay. Thank you. Yes?
I think everything in like the Red Hawk Central would be really beneficial if it was in here.
Okay, so I don't know if you know this, but all the things that are going to that are currently in Red Hawk Central are moving over to College Hall. So those all of those offices will be in one location in an office in College Hall, along with some additional administrative offices.
You don't want the Student Center to be next to the President and Provost office. That'll be like business, and then this is more social.
Yes.
Just for the question to you, I don't know if you know the answer to this, but why does the plan for Webster Hall after all the offices are moved down there?
So we don't know the full plan of that, but I'm sure that's going to be a part of the conversation just based on the proximity for the Student Center. So it'll be a part of the conversation, but do you have a request about the spaces or offices that are in there?
Not really.
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
The Health Center? I think that it would make more sense if it was in somewhere where everyone could reach and have this land too.
Okay, thank you. Yes?
We talked about how the chairs were, like, okay, so the lounges are fine, but the chairs are not comfortable, so I would say just comfortable chairs and, like,
are there any chairs you feel like? Like the library chairs? Or the new one?
Not the school of communications ones. That's all I know.
You said we got a comment that they like the ones we just did over at the library.
Okay, I haven't personally.
If you like any, then just email me. Let me know.
Yeah, and you can put that on our. So we have a HawkSync portal that has the feedback form. So you can put a link if you see a picture. Send us the link. Like we will take your suggestions or at least, you know, give us some guidance. I feel like Beach volleyball court. Yes.
A bigger variety of, I know this is already said, but specifically coffee.
Coffee?
Yeah.
Coffee. Oh,
okay.
Coffee.
Yes.
No. This is just specifically the Student Center. Yeah, Marielle is not on the other projects on campus, just a Student Center.
Yeah, was there a hand back there? Okay, now think, I want you to be thinking even bigger than where you are. Things that we've gotten from other listening sessions, just a prompt. Movie theater, black box theater, bowling alley, game room. Just to be thinking, like, we're talking big. What are
interfaith, spiritual center, meditation.
Yeah, so to jog, yes. So something where you can bring your own movie or
not even.
Gaming?
I think there was like a bookshelf of just like DVDs there.
Okay.
That you could just choose from. Just something really simple.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes? Okay, that one might be a little too big, but I'm going to write it down because, hey, we're shooting for the moon here.
We'll let the lawyers work.
Yeah.
So on that part,
yes.
I know this isn't too big, but I know in the rec center, they have these places, the multi-purpose rooms, where they're big, the mirrors, people can
can come from like orgs to rehearse or just come and do stuff, rehearse for anything. I believe that.
Wait, right here. Permanent like telescope would kind of be cool, so people can see.
Telescope. Got it. Yes.
A spa.
A spa. What features of a spa specifically?
Massage,
like, you
massage,
want to be able to book
massages?
Yes.
Using funds.
Was there a hand over here?
Yeah.
Joe.
I like the idea of having a bridge from here to car park.
Bridge to car park.
I want it.
I like this.
Yes.
A planetarium.
Planetarium.
Yeah. Should we
move
people in the back?
Rock climbing wall.
Rock climbing wall.
Dangerous.
Oh, yes.
Greenhouse.
Greenhouse.
I like that.
Yes.
Artificial beach.
Do you want beach volleyball on it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
Two for beach volleyball.
Yes.
I feel like another Rocky statue.
Rocky statue?
We have it so far away.
I want a big MS.
Other things, hopes and dreams.
You guys, what about a boardwalk?
Yes. What was that?
Being open 24/7.
Open. What would you want to have access to 24/7?
Grocery store. Being able to get in a little easier.
Like just
oh, the
to do anything specific?
Isn't the library open?
No.
Okay.
Only finals, yeah.
Okay. Yes.
A grocery store.
Grocery store. Got it. Yes.
Computer lab can be 24/7.
Oh,
computer
lab.
24/7. We can print something. You can touch
anything. Thank you. Yes.
A dance studio with mirrors.
Thank you.
I think it would be important for students to have access to safer sex supplies 24/7.
Sex supplies. 24/7. Yes.
The drop. I know this is going back, but the drop-in center, a drop-in center in the student center.
Yes. Charging, like a place specifically to charge your devices for class.
Charging room.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
A charging room with computer chargers.
Oh. Like already, like the charger is there.
Like you have the iPhone chargers. So
uh huh.
iPhone chargers, but then you don't have.
Got it. Yes.
A planetarium.
Oh, plant. Got it. Yes.
I don't know the exact name for it, but
TVs
that have audio, like so you know how the TVs. No. So you know how the TVs like show images of like the posters and stuff, but for students who are visually impaired, they can't see that. So to have like a
captioning
TV that tells you what the poster says. Or something.
Captioning on images. Or image descriptions.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe have like a mini post office in there as well. It's so far away.
Mm-hmm.
A community engagement for the police department. An office for them.
Yes. Any other hopes and dreams? Yes.
A high class dining option.
Tell me more about what a high class dining option would include.
So, a place on campus where you can dress up, go sit down, eat good money, eat good food, and just have a good time. And you don't have to go out of campus to do that.
Good restaurant.
Do it on
okay, beautiful.
Date.
Okay. Thank you all.
Excuse me,
well, yeah.
What about
we're brainstorming.
Like drop-in academic advising? Would that be helpful? Like a space where advisors from any college could be on any given day?
I feel like everybody has their own kind of building, and that's where your advisors are. So, like, I'm in the school of comms, so all my advisors are either in there or Moorhead, which is connected, and all my classes are in there, too, so it's not really, like, a big deal for me to have to see them in that building, personally, at least.
We're thinking also, like, a multi-purpose type of room, like the ones over in School of Business or University Hall, where it's, like, an academic setting, but not for classes. But if you're having organizations, like you can use it for student governance, or if you guys are doing any kind of like leadership things, like multi-purpose type classroom type seating, is that something you would need?
Is there a possibility of having, let's just say, for people for mental health to have like some other counseling area in the student center? So let's just say, so like a drop-in one, like one that
counseling.
Needs, like, yeah, counseling, like someone's having a panic attack, they should go and be like, hey, kind of need some help.
Take some notes.
Would we want all of CAPS in here?
or one way or other.
Like a drop-in type thing, like for immediate help.
Got it.
Yes.
Something for physical activity if you don't want to go to the rec center, for maybe like an indoor track or something. You know, so if you're here and you're studying, you want to quickly block it off.
Got it. Yes. Like Feliciano? Okay. Yes?
A post office? So we don't have to go all the way to Lot 60?
Yes.
A large conference room as well.
Yes?
So something that I actually heard from one of the students when we went to the student government conference last semester that they had at their university is they had rooms that students could like rent out to do their own little like businesses in a way. So like, I don't know, like a lot of people, for example, if you're an art major, you might like, sell little like postcards or something, or like if you do hair. So just like a space that students could reserve if they try to like need it to repair whatever they need there.
A vendor space.
Okay. Any others? Okay. Okay, so we've started this conversation. Again, this is the very first phase of a multi-phase process. So we will ask the student government if we can attend a future meeting again when we're in future phases. But between now and the next time you see us or are invited to a listening session, please know that we have, if you go on HawkSync and you look up Student Center, there is now a Student Center portal that has a feedback form. So if you visited your friend at High Point University in North Carolina and saw their lazy river, and you're like, I want a lazy river, go on to that feedback form and let us know that. So we will continue to have this conversation and to get feedback from students and from other areas. But we thank you for your time. If there's any pizza left, please eat something. And thank you so much for your attention and for all of your great ideas.
Thank you. I will put your worksheets, please. I will take them. Send all your worksheets over, please. Fill it out. Keep it.
Oh, okay.
Just wait till they tell
us. I need your worksheets that have things on them. So, like, feel free to give it to me later. I live downstairs.
I'm going to have to look after this. So.
Yep.
Yeah. Vanex?
All right, you can hit it now.
Do we need a vote for it?
No.
For the club, they just need to accept it. It's a second. I'm going to accept it.
All right, so before we move on any further, we do need a motion to accept a clerk. So if anyone's willing to do it, you know, say it now, or else they'll choose randomly, so. No one? Okay, I'm going to give you a number, Primo. Six. Right. Greg, do you accept?
Sure.
All right, perfect. Okay. All right, so we're going to move on to officer reports.
Me.
Okay.
Hi, y'all. My name is Emma. I'm the vice president. You're like, why is she not up there? Jonathan, you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. Hi, all. So I'm Jonathan. I've been elected the upcoming vice president for the SGA. So thank you. Oh, wow. So yeah, I'm pretty much getting my foot in the door by doing this today, so it helps.
Okay, so I'm still here. Like, you might have not seen me up there. I'm right next to Joe on the side. So basically, this is what's going to happen for, you know, this meeting and the next meeting for the majority of it. Jonathan's going to run it, and I'm going to be here along with Joe, just helping him through it. So just make sure you like you're aware of that, and then you're considerate of the process. This agenda is long today. There's a lot of things that we're going to be discussing. We have 6 charters, we have 5 Class 1 budgets, and then we have a couple of different student affairs bills. So it's going to go past 5:30. I'm shooting for 6:15. So just note that. If you have class, I understand you have class, period. But for all the organizations in the back, be cognizant of that. There is an agenda. Each organization charter takes about 12 minutes, roughly, and each Class 1 budget takes about 10 to 15 minutes, depending on the item. So legislatures, as always, be alert, be aware, ask questions, but let's move through this so we can get out as soon as possible.
Sounds good. All right. Any other reports?
I have some.
Go for it.
So the new legislator, can you please come forward? It's great.
Can you ask her to say her name? Major?
Go right to the front.
Right this way.
Your face out.
Right. So if you may, can you say your name, your major, and why you're joining the SGA?
My name is Tajay Thompson. I'm a finance major, and I joined because I wanted to have a voice for things. So.
Awesome.
Excellent. So please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I state your name.
I, Tajay Thompson.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully execute the office of legislator.
That I will faithfully execute the office of legislator.
Of the Student Government Association.
Of the Student Government Association.
Of Montclair State University Incorporated.
Of Montclair State University Incorporated.
And that I will.
And that I will.
To the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
Uphold the Constitution of the Student Government.
Uphold the Constitution.
Congratulations.
That's all right. All right, now moving into cabinet reports.
No report.
Okay. Anyone else?
Not really.
Hi everyone, my name is Maris, I'm the class period director. So I just wanted to give you an update. One, I apologize for not being here last week, I wasn't feeling too good. We as a class period organizations in general, we are really striving. One of our major goals this semester was to kind of improve the relationship between the organizations and the SGA. And good news, it is improving gradually, it's getting there. We are going through RHA packets on Thursday because it's due on Friday. So hopefully that way organizations don't get stuck because a lot of them are new. But other than that, we are pushing through one step at a time.
Questions for Marie? All right, thank you. All right, any other cabinet reports? Okay. Moving into committee reports. Any committee reports? No, maybe so. All right. Programming. No, nothing in programming. Perfect. All right, so we're going to go ahead and move on. So we're going to consider a bill under new business. So bill S-2019-090, MSDO Charter Amendment. Would that have to be motioned to be considered?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the first, the first thing.
Motion to consider bill number...
90.
S-2019-079.
Yeah.
Okay.
She needs to leave, that's why.
Okay, perfect.
Is there a second?
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we need a two-thirds majority vote in order for...
No, you're good.
We're good? Okay, we're good. All right.
Now considering
bill S-2019-090, MSDO Retardment.
No. 079.
079?
SGA Livestream Camera.
Oh, that's right. Okay, now considering bill S-2019-079, SGA Livestream Camera.
Being enacted by the legislature of the Student Government Association of Montclair State University Incorporated, that whereas the SGA is currently required to by a bill passed in previous years to live stream all legislative meetings in proper permanent network service, and whereas the idea of live streaming is near impossible for the SGA to accomplish along with all other duties, and whereas the SGA shall no longer be required to live stream meetings, but shall record all meetings and upload in a timely manner following meetings with a new equipment it will purchase. It was all that the SGA is allocated $2,000 from unappropriated surpluses to cover the cost of the camera and equipment to properly record the meetings. Breakdown is attached, made by Ariana Gingali, Chair of Marketing Publicity Committee, March 27, 2019.
Author's report.
Okay. The point of information to Emma or Joe, the date I submitted is incorrect. Should it be changed? Or is it? Is it
point of information to the author, when was it submitted? Point of clarification, since it doesn't reflect a need for an event, the date it's submitted does not matter.
Okay, so essentially what this bill is for is, I think 2 years ago, a bill was passed mandating the SGA to live stream all SGA meetings, and it was signed into law, so it currently is a law, and as you can see, we don't do that. It's near impossible to do it. We would have to have somebody standing there the entirety of the meeting to live stream it. The only equipment we have to live stream is an iPad. An iPad dies after about 30 minutes of recording, and the only platform we have to live stream on is Instagram, which is not very useful. So myself, along with the rest of the marketing publicity committee, after talking with Emma, Serafina, we decided that purchasing a heavy-duty video camera and uploading the video later, such as Emma uploads the audio later on the website, would be the most beneficial. The committee and I have been discussing this for weeks at this point, and we did talk with Charisse, who is the secretary-elect, who is also in the committee, and she thinks it's a great idea and thinks that it will be easily executed next year. So I also filled out all of the paperwork that is required for the camera, because it's over $350. And we took a lot of time to look at the best equipment. I do have to discharge committee because we never officially voted on it, but the committee is obviously all on board for it. Otherwise, I would not have submitted the bill on behalf of the committee. So just a heads up that I will be discharging committee.
Okay. Questions for the author? Okay, committee report. Would someone like to motion to discharge committee? Ariana.
Motion to discharge committee.
Okay. Is there a second? Okay, we need a 3/4 majority vote in order for committee to be discharged. All those in favor? All those opposed? All those abstaining? Committee is discharged. Okay.
Debate and discussion.
So.
Debate and discussion.
Debate and discussion on the committee.
On the bill.
On the bill. Jack.
Point of information to Ariana.
Yeah.
This bill is mainly like about money. Why hasn't this bill referred to the appropriations committee?
Last week the bill was placed into marketing and publicity committee, so that's the committee it went through. I don't place the bill, so I'll defer to Emma.
So this was a point of contention between a lot of things that we've had with committees. Like, as you know, we have had dining services also has a bill that's going to, dining committee has a bill that's going to go up in front of the legislature. And the idea at first was to go to two committees, so to go to their own committee and then go to another committee, and that just is not feasible based on the schedule that was provided. However, you know, we're all here in this discussion on whether the funds could be accessible is a conversation that everyone can have in the space. So that's why I didn't put it in two committees. Adonis.
Can I make another statement on that?
Sure. Well, let's hear Adonis'
question.
I actually just have a question for the author. So what is the plan? Like, is it just one camera or multiple cameras? Because we just don't need a recording of us. We also need to see you guys.
Right.
So how would that work?
So the idea is to kind of go off of how Emma had initially started doing it last semester with the iPad, where it was on a tripod back there. 99.9% of the time that somebody is speaking, they are standing right here. Or you don't really need to see their face. Like, if you're asking a question in the seat over there, we don't really necessarily need to see your face to hear the question. So it will be pointing towards this way, so you can see the chair of the meeting and the person who's standing here speaking. We also have requested money for a tripod to put it on, and we have also requested money for a Shotgun microphone, which is like one of those like fuzzy microphones you can attach to a camera, so it will pick up more sound more clearly. So yes, it is for video purposes, but it will also be very heavily relying on audio as well.
Kevin?
Have you guys spoken to the IT department to have a camera placed into this room itself for that purpose, like you do in the university?
Defer to Emma.
We cannot have. I spoke to Center for Student Involvement about the ability to change any of these rooms, and since it is not our room, we are not allowed to add anything additional here. So I bet they absolutely could. IT could do it, but it's not our space. However, in a new student center, if we owned a room like this, perhaps we could do that.
You
could
do that, yeah. Absolutely.
Jack.
Where are you getting the camera from? Amazon, Walmart?
So everything on the list is from Best Buy. If you look at the breakdown, it says all items are from Best Buy.
Any other questions? Okay.
We're in debate discussion.
Okay, so
seeing none,
we need a 2/3 majority vote in order for this bill to pass. All those in favor? All those opposed? All those abstaining? Bill passes.
Right.
Okay.
And now.
Please yeah, new business. Into okay. Business, into right. The committees.
So we're going to go ahead and quickly move into new business. We're going to place a couple bills into their respective committees. So bills S-2019-086 through 089 be moved into Government and Administration Committee.
Ariana.
And then Ariana would kill a motion.
Bill, oh, wait. Motion.
Mm-hmm. There's also 90 now. So bill number S-2019-090.
So bill
2019-090
be placed into organization review.
Perfect.
Go ahead.
Motion to consider bill number S-2019-090.
Is there a second? Okay. So now considering bill S-2019-090 MSDO rechartering.
Being enacted by the Legislature of the Student Government Association of Montclair State University Incorporated, that whereas Montclair State Dietetics Organization would like to recharter as a Class 1 organization under the Student Government Association, and whereas Montclair State Dietetics Organization would be a great benefit to the Montclair State University undergraduate campus community, and whereas Montclair State Dietetics Organization would like to receive a charter for the fall 2019 to spring 2021 time period, be it resolved that Montclair State Dietetics Organization receives a charter for the fall 2019 to spring 2021. Submitted by Javonna Boggins, SJ Legislator, April 9th, 2019.
All right. Author's report?
No report.
Okay, questions for the author? Organization report. So, you guys have 6 minutes to give your presentation. I'll give you a one at the 1 minute mark, and whenever you're ready, feel free to start.
Hello, SJA and legislators. My name is Victoria Vasquez, and I'm the president for the Montclair State Dietetics Organization.
My name is Jamie Bacher, and I'm the vice president for MSDO.
My name is Catherine Sullivan, and I'm the treasurer for MSDO.
My name is Michael Conti, and I'm the historian for MSDO.
So we are a Class 1 organization of the SGA, and today we are kindly requesting a recharter as a Class 1 organization. So our purpose is we are devoted to educating the campus on healthy choices while also preparing our members for careers in the nutrition field. We meet every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. in University Hall 1040, one of the lecture halls. So we are a unique organization because no other organization on campus provides resources and education for students to improve their nutrition. We also offer a lot of career building opportunities for our nutrition students, such as the ability to volunteer off campus and also write for our weekly newsletter to help them build up their portfolio and their resume. And we also host guest speakers for the majority of our weekly meetings who are professionals working in the field. This is a list of our fall 2018 events. Just to highlight a few, we do have our Welcome Back Fruit Kebab Bar. We had our first ever mentorship meet and greet, which coincided with our mentorship program, which we put into place just this year. We had our Cultural Food Day, which is our staple event. And then our Make-A-Witch Give-A-Witch, which is a volunteer-based event where we made sandwiches and donated them to the Montclair Emergency Services for the homeless. These are just a few pictures from the fall. So as you can see, we do have some pictures from the Cultural Food Day. And then in the top corner, we do have some students volunteer with the Nutrition Department for the Alumni Weekend, making chocolate bark. This is a list of our spring events. So again, we had our Welcome Back Bar. This time it was for hummus. We had our mentorship meet and greet again. Our staple event is National Nutrition Month, which we hosted in March. And then just a few others. We are hosting our Superfood Snack Sale, which is an event for our new incoming e-board members to sponsor by themselves with the help of our current e-board members. Again, just some pictures that we had from this semester. We did have some students for the first time ever present to the sports teams on campus. And then the other top corner is some of our students volunteering at the Community Food Bank of New Jersey. This is a list of some of our future events we plan on having. We do like to stick with tradition, so we'd like to continue to do our Cultural Food Day and our National Nutrition Month while also building up our mentorship meet and greet. Just a few others, we would like to gear more towards environmental and sustainable eating, so doing eating to reduce waste and also educating students on what fair trade is. So we benefit the campus by sharing the nutrition knowledge we're learning in the classroom through our educational events and our meetings. We also provide nutrition information and recommendations to help students improve their diets while also helping them fit that into their life as a college student. We have an 8-member e-board. We have one advisor. We do have 61 active members in the fall, which is defined as having 40 or more points acquired throughout the semester, and you acquire points by being involved in different activities that we sponsor. And then we also had 40 non-active members, which were members who were involved in one way or another, but did not acquire those 40 points. This was our treasurer's report from the fall. So just to highlight some of the key things here, Cultural Food Day, we did have almost 200 attendees, which has been our largest turnout yet. And we did meet 98% of our budget. This is from this spring. We're still just waiting on our two last events, which we will be hosting this Friday. For our accreditation report, we are a Class 1 organization. For the fall, we did achieve Tier 1 status. We acquired 26 points. We hosted a total of 11 events, 8 of which were co-sponsored. We did acquire all 8 bonus points. We were very proud to have spearheaded the food inclusivity bonus point by having 75% or more of our events food inclusive. And we did use 98% of our budget. For the spring, we do anticipate achieving Tier 1 status again with 11 hosted events, 7 of which were co-sponsored. So we are seeking a recharter because we did achieve Tier 1 status. For the full year, we've had an incoming co-sponsorships of 48 and an outgoing of 62. We've had a total of 22 events hosted. And we've been providing MSU students with nutrition information and education for the past 24 years. So we'd like to continue to do that for the future of Montclair State. So we do aim to continue to encourage students to make positive and educated choices regarding their nutrition. Thank you.
All right, questions for the organization? Yes, Dr.
What's the highest points for the tier thing you did?
29.
29? Oh, okay. Because that's the.
Yep, it was wrong.
Okay, got it.
It's 29.
Okay.
Any other questions for the organization? All right, committee report.
300 unofficial positive recommendation.
Questions for the committee? Debate and discussion on this bill? Okay. Ariana?
David?
Yeah.
MSDO, it's been really a pleasure working with you guys over this semester. I've seen you guys really put in hard work on what you guys do for the community, and I just wanted to commend you on that hard work. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Anyone else? Okay, seeing none, we need a 2/3 majority vote in order for this bill to pass. All those in favor? All those opposed? All those abstaining? Bill passes. Congratulations.
Moving back into unfinished business.
Okay. All right, so moving back into unfinished business, we'll get through that order. So, all right, so now considering Bill S-2019-080, Montclair State University Gamers Class 1 Rechartering.
Being enacted by the legislature, the Student Government Association of Montclair State University Incorporated, that Montclair University Gamers would like to recharter as a Class 1 organization under the Student Government Association, and whereas Montclair University Gamers would be a great benefit to Montclair State University undergraduate campus community, and whereas Montclair University Gamers would like to receive a charter for the fall 2019 spring season, be it resolved that Montclair University Gamers receives a charter from the fall 2019 spring 2021.
Author's report.
Oh. What is the bill number of this?
080.
Thank you.
Okay. Author's report?
No report.
Okay, questions for the author? Organization report. All right, so you guys have 6 minutes for your presentation. I'll give you one at the 5-minute mark and start whenever you're ready.
I will start with that.
Okay. We are Montclair University Gamers. We're a Class 1 organization of the SGA. We are rechartering as Class 1 as well.
Don't worry about it.
We have 7 e-board members. We also have committee and 1 advisor. There we go. For our e-board, we have myself. Should we go through the whole e-board?
I don't think it's necessary.
You can just say their names.
Okay. All right. We run weekly general body meetings. This past year, we had an average of 49-plus people attend our general body meetings, and that number is growing. We have been meeting every Tuesday from 8:30 p.m. to midnight in the Red Hawk's Nest. We're hoping to obtain that same space for the same time. Our general body meetings are...
So our general body meetings are hosted in the Red Hawk's Nest, and So the next slide is our Assassin's Creed Odyssey launch party, which actually, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the company Ubisoft. For the past 2 years, we've been working with them under their college, I don't think it's a partnership legally, but it's under their college program. We host launch parties for their games. We also host Rainbow Six Siege streams on the weekends every now and again. It's a very fun program to be a part of, and we're honored that they consider us. And we are actually on the official Ubisoft map. If you go to their Twitter for Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and also whatever the last game was, you can see us right in the corner there among so many other great colleges that are part of this program. Should I feel better? Okay. Each semester we host a Smash Brothers tournament. For the spring semester, we hosted Red Hawk Runback. This is our Super Smash Brothers tournament to the popular title that we decided to run it again in the spring semester. We had over 60 participants for this new game, Smash Ultimate. And again, in each semester, we host the Rock Band Battle of the Bands, and that is where students are judged on scores for how well they perform in-game as well as rocking the stage. It's just a very fun event. It's kind of like an open mic karaoke thing, but a little more video game oriented because we're a video game club. As for tabletop night, we noticed that our tabletop community has grown a lot over this past year, and we wanted to hope to foster them into possibly committee in the foreseeable future. But in order to do that, we first had to host a tabletop night to gather interest. That was a fun event, which centered around tabletop games, whether that be Yu-Gi-Oh, Trail and the House on the Hill, or even Sorry or Trouble, you know, the childhood games we all grew up playing. And as for our charity work, for the past 9 years, three very, very dedicated alumni have been coming to campus and helping us run a 48-hour charity marathon. This year, after revamping it over the summer, constant work with eBoard, constant work with other alumni, people that are dedicated to this organization, we helped to raise over $700, more than our previous goal. We raised $3,535 for charity. That's very, very exciting. Thank you. And before we let that go, Child's Play is an organization that is dedicated towards giving games to children that are sick in hospitals while they're getting surgery or if they're there for an indefinite amount of time. The organization we raise money for gives them games and, of course, video game related again. Now let's bring it to Andy for our budget report.
Hi, I'm Andy. I'm the treasurer. I just have a little bit of our spending in both the winter and the fall semester, fall and spring semesters. For the winter, we were able to spend 100% of our co-sponsorship budget. The lowest spending on both of these lines here, as you can see, are the equipment and repairs and the publicity. Both of those are because they are yearly lines. And at this point, they have been peefed and the paperwork for them is likely being processed. I can't say for myself, but you know. Aside from that, everything else was spent pretty well. Programming, there was some issues with because I physically ran out of money to be reimbursed for, but yeah. And then in the spring, co-sponsorship, I'm gonna be honest, it kind of flopped. We had some events fall through, but aside from that, we were able to spend almost all of our equipment budget, all of our Magic the Gathering line, all of our office expenses, almost all of our prizes, much of our programming line, and a large amount of our publicity line as well. So our overall initial amount in our budget is $9,600. We were able to spend $9,130.38. That is for a total percentage of 95.11%. This does consider amounts that have only been peefed right now and not spent, because we do have two events left in the semester. We have our mystery game night next Thursday and then our final meeting on May the 7th.
Then these are the current co-sponsorships that have gone through. We have been very proud to work with every single one of these organizations and are hoping to work with them again, as well as more on the campus. And game on.
Okay. Questions for the organization?
Elsewhere? You said you have a partnership with Ubisoft. Can you explain more about what that entails? What's required on your part?
So I have to be careful because Actually, no. That was last year. I apologize. It's been a bit of a shift because it's such a new program for them, so a lot of it is not necessarily clear. On our part, we wait for them to email us. Would it be all right if I just ran you through the process? Would that work for you?
Sure.
So we receive an email from them, usually sometime over the summer, and they'll say, hey, we have an Assassin's Creed coming out in October, because they've been yearly releasing them in October. They ask us, if we provide you code for the games, would you guys mind hosting an event for it? We say yes, and we just host an event for it. They usually provide us swag and stuff like that. They have to say swag, it's not hip. But that can range from Assassin's Creed Odyssey bags, Rainbow Six pop sockets. I don't have anything on me now, but if you actually come to our office, we actually have some we have to give away. So they provide us swag, and as for the Rainbow Six stream, we have a Twitch channel, twitch.tv/mugamers. On that, every now and again, on certain weekends, usually we notice twice per semester, usually. This semester, not so much. They'll contact us and say, hey, we would like to post Rainbow Six Siege. I don't know if you're familiar with that series.
I'm familiar with it.
Yeah, and they'll say, can you stream the game for an hour or two? So that way, they get promotion during, usually one of their grand finals or something like that, so they get, the views on Twitch. They provide a swag we give to our memberships. If you watch the stream, you get some swag. It's a very, very exciting program to be working with. We've been working with them for 2 years now. Our Ubisoft rep, Lexi, actually left this year because she moved to a different company. So we're waiting to see what the program's going to be hosting for next year. But from my understanding, it's still going to be through Ubisoft. It just won't be direct personally the next upcoming year. Does that answer your questions for the Ubisoft thing? Or?
Pretty much.
Yes.
Just one more.
Sure.
It's not contingent on any positive reviews or promotional things like loot boxes or anything else that's our in-game features. Just see it, and if you like it, that's nice, right? For the game nights where you premiere things, you're not actually promoting. You are promoting the game by having it viewed, but you're not promoting it in the sense of saying, like, reviewing it. And giving your opinions.
Yeah, so actually, that's the contract thing I mentioned before. Legally, in just all game reviews, even for gaming journalism, people are not allowed to, if the company provides you the product, you have complete access to say whether you dislike or like it, as well as I cannot legally speak for the game until I play it myself. And that's just a matter of fairness. But yeah, Montclair State University does not condone Assassin's Creed Odyssey, if that's the question you're going for. Or maybe we do if you guys play it. Yeah. Any other questions? Or?
Seeing none? Okay. Committee report.
4-0-1, positive recommendation.
Okay. Questions for the committee? Right. Debate and discussion on this bill. Kevin?
I'd like to say when you get to the 48-hour gaming thing, that was really awesome. It was a spring break. It was really fun. And you guys raised a lot of money.
Thank you.
I've been to one or two of their events, and while I haven't gone as much as I'd like to, they're really welcoming.
Scott?
I almost religiously go to their general body meetings. I normally actually stay longer than that because I play Magic Gathering with friends. So I always go there. I always play with my friends. We always have a really good time. And I really don't go to that many orgs on campus, but I can truly say Montclair University Gamers is truly just one of the most fun groups of people to hang out with, play games, and assuming they get rechartered, I will continue to go religiously to all their general body meetings.
David?
Guys, I've been really working hard this semester. I really enjoy you guys' devotion to the community and really providing for them. I was personally involved in the 48-hour marathon, and I enjoyed every single second of it. From sleeping at 7 a.m. in the morning. But I really am proud that you guys really pushed that limit on the donation, the total. And I'm looking forward to see more in the future.
Joe?
The clarity and transparency in your financials is one of the best I've seen. So I recommend you on that.
Please don't hurt that shoulder. I sorry.
Anything else in debate and discussion? Well, I guess I could add something. So I've had the pleasure of serving Mugs as Class 1 rep for almost 2 years now, and from time to time again, they've blown me out of the water after witnessing how accepting they are of students who care to join. And I definitely want to commend them on their efforts for creating such a lasting impression here at this campus community. So, yeah. All right. Anything else in debate and discussion? So, seeing none, we need a 2/3 majority vote in order for this bill to pass. All those in favor? All those opposed? All those abstaining? Bill passes. Congratulations.
Keep it moving.
All right, now considering bill S-2019-081, Newman Catholic Class 1 Rechargement. Oh, I please ask that you guys just leave quietly so we can keep moving. Thanks.
Bill number S-2019. Be enacted by the Legislature of the Student Government Association of Montclair State University Incorporated that whereas Newman Catholic Rechargement Charter is a Class 1 organization under the Student Government Association and whereas Newman Catholic would be of great benefit to Montclair State University undergraduate Newman Catholic would like to receive a charter for the fall of 2019 to spring 2021 time period. Be it resolved that Newman Catholic receives a charter from the fall 2019 to spring 2021 submitted by G. Bond Lawrence, SGU Legislature of Montclair, April 15th, 2019.
Author's report.
No report.
Questions for the author?
You rock.
Organization report. So, you guys have 6 minutes to give your presentation. I'll give you a 1-5 minute mark and start whenever you're ready.
Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Hoagie Graham. I'm the president of Newman Catholic, and we're asking for a charter as a class one organization.
I'm Claire Burke. I'm the treasurer.
I'm Amanda Filino. I'm the vice president.
And I'm Lauren Ward. I'm the secretary.
So, this is our e-board we just introduced you to. We also have our advisor, who's Father Jim Churn, which is our campus chaplain. Our organization's purpose is to help students grow in their faith through spiritual, social, and community outreach programs. We do this through helping each other deepen our relationship with Jesus Christ and the Catholic Church, which he founded. And as we are a Catholic organization, we very much promote inviting everyone into our community, so we are inclusive of everyone on campus. So this benefits the campus community because we offer the sacraments such as Sunday Mass, daily Mass, confession, and adoration, and we also offer Bible studies and ample opportunities for community service. This year, from the fall to the spring, we've had over 450 hours of community service logged. You can check it out in the binder that's being passed around. And we also, every Tuesday, we have our general body member meeting. And that's where we actually get to invite everybody from the community and have a catered meal. And through that, we have a faith-based discussion too on different topics and share in fellowship. And that just gives students opportunities to grow in their faith and love for serving others. So our organization should receive a charter because we utilize our resources given to us by the SGA by having engaging events, including midnight runs, where we go into New York City and we hand out food and clothing items to the homeless population of New York City. We have Newman Nights, Sunday Mass, and these all help students to explore and learn about their faith and serve the greater campus community. And we are also a very unique organization which physically and spiritually serves both students on campus and those in need off campus. So as I mentioned before, we have our general body member meetings on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. down at the Newman Center. If you ever want to come, it's down to the stairs behind Moorhead Hall.
This is our budget report. So for fall, we used 88% of our budget. That's a little lower because we did have problems with one of our lines, our event. We usually host, we couldn't use that for it, so the event we did use that line for was we didn't need as much money. And in spring, we are going to be using about 91%.
So in the fall, we were a tier one organization, and we are planning to be that way in the spring too. We met all the qualifications and we had a bunch of bonus points too.
And then this is our proposed budget for year, where we are asking for increases in our banquet line, our conference line, and also in programming.
And we can talk a little bit more about that when we go into our budget. But these are just some pictures from our different events. We have Mass and Adoration every week. We have our Newman Nights where we have a free dinner and we get to share in fellowship. This is just a few more pictures of that. And more pictures of that. And then this is from one of our bigger events, Halloween. We had a bunch of people come down and dress up. And then we had our Christmas party, which obviously is a big thing for us. And this was a really cool thing. So I told you guys a little bit about Midnight Runs. Community service is a huge thing to us. And being able to serve others is very, very important to us. We also did something where we cleaned up Lake Hopatcong. Again, community service is really huge for us. This was our conference this year. We were in Indianapolis at the SEED conference. And this just helped us all grow in our faith a lot, and again, sharing fellowship. We have a lot of retreats too to help people grow in their faith. And then obviously just growing in fellowship. And yeah, thank you guys.
All right, questions for the organization? Thomas?
Do you guys co-sponsor with other clubs?
Yeah, so this in the fall we had, I think, 4 or 5 co-sponsorships, and in the spring, I believe we had about 7 or 8, or we're about to have 7 or 8, so.
Any other questions? Committee report? Oh, David?
Yeah. I just wanted to ask, how long did it take you to make 3 set, scrapbooks? Because that's amazing.
It took a little long time. Our programming chair was a huge help in that. She's not here right now, but she did an amazing job.
Any other questions? Committee report.
301, positive unofficial recommendation.
Okay, questions for the committee? Debate and discussion on this bill.
Yesterday I was running a tour on campus, and a mom asked me, she was like, does Newman Catholic still exist? And I was proud to say, yes, they're a class one organization. And then I saw you guys come up today, and I was like, oh, great. I was happy to say that, because we were by Moorhead, and she asked. And I was like, yeah. And it's also great that you guys have your meetings in the student center, because that probably helps a lot for people who live on campus. Yeah. And you guys do a lot of great things, so thank you.
Thank you.
Yep.
So we met with Hopi last Thursday, and she was so passionate about this organization, so I commend you for that. And I see that all the gender body members, that is amazing, so I hope that you get a retardment. You guys are great.
Thank you.
David?
Sorry, I'm trying to collect my thoughts. But anyways, so I love the slides. I love how everything is all community based, and I love how you guys really go out your way to really not just serve the MSU student body and everyone in it, but also people outside. So I really commend you guys. It's really hard work.
Thank you.
Anything else in debate and discussion? All right. Seeing none, we will now consider.
I was just saying that their paperwork is really good, especially considering your faith-based organization, and there are certain requirements that you have to pass through to become an organization. So all this stuff is in order, and it will help you out.
Okay. Anything else? All right. We'll now move to a vote. So we need a 2/3 majority vote in order for this bill to be passed. All those in favor? All those opposed? All those abstaining? Bill passes. Congratulations. All right. Let's see what we got next. So now considering Bill S-2019-078, Newman. Oh, guys, 1 second. Their budget.
Okay.
Yeah. So Newman Catholic Class 1 budget. So.
Staying up here.
Yes. Bill
078. Newman Catholic is a Class 1 organization of the SJA has been granted a Class 1 charter for the academic year of 2019-2020, whereas the organization has submitted a budget request that has been approved by the SJA Treasurer and President. Resolved that the attached budget is approved for the 2019-2020 academic school year for Newman Catholic, submitted by Serafina Argenis, SJA President, April 15, 2019.
Okay, author's report?
No report.
Okay, questions for the author? Organization report. So speak about your budget and go for it.
Okay. So our budget, we actually have a few different lines. We have our banquet line, our conference line, co-sponsorship, discipleship development, dogmatic meals, historian, office supplies, programming, publicity, and weekly bulletins. You guys can see, I think it's going to be up on the screen soon, but there are three different lines that we are asking for an increase in, and that is our banquet line, our conference line, and our programming. First of all, programming, that's a huge one that we do need an increase in, because we use that for our weekly meetings. That's our Newman nights. And during that, a lot of people do come down, and sometimes we do run out of food or aren't able to decorate how we want to. So that's a huge thing that we want an increase in. Also, our banquet line, that's another thing. So we usually use that for our opening and closing barbecues, which one of them will be happening on May 3rd if anybody wants to come. but that is down at our Newman Centers. And that is probably one of our biggest events of the entire the two semesters, because so many people feel totally like welcome to come and everything. They're welcome to come to any event, but just being able to come down with all the different food and everything. But we have run out of food again with that, so we're just asking for more money with that. And then our conference line. So every year we go to a conference. This past year in 2019, we went to Indianapolis for something called SEEK, which is where everybody's just able to grow in fellowship, grow in their faith and everything. Next year, the conference is held in Arizona. So we were able to rent a bus to Indianapolis this year, and we actually spent more than our budget. We went over the budget. So, and next year, we actually have to fly there because it's in Arizona. So we do need more money for that so we can have more people go, and also our students isn't like putting a strain on them to pay for their flight or anything.
Anything else? So questions for the organization? James? Oh, so seeing that the author of this bill isn't here, we do need a motion to put someone to author the bill. So James? Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, James, you are now the author of this bill. Okay, committee report. Committee? Emma?
A point of information to the chair. Did we already do questions for the organization on their budget?
Yeah, we just said it, so.
No one had questions for this budget.
Apparently not. Okay, any questions for the Elshma?
I actually have a question. How many people do you expect to attend the banquet, and how many people do you attend the conference?
The conference, I believe we had, I think, close to like 15 or 20 this past year, just from our school. Okay, closer to 20, sorry. It was 23, thank you. And then the banquet, like the opening and closing barbecue, I'd say like close to like it's down at the Newman Center, so I think it's like, it's probably 100 or a few, I don't know. So it's because people go in and out and everything. They'll grab food, they'll like hang out for a little bit because we have yard games and everything too. So sometimes it's over 100, few hundred.
Okay. Any other questions for the organization? Okay. Committee report.
This bill received a 501 positive recommendation.
Okay. Questions for the committee? Debate and discussion on this bill? All right. Seeing none, we need a 2/3 majority vote in order for this bill to pass. All those in favor? All those opposed? All those abstaining? Bill passes. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Now considering bill S-2019-082, South Asian Student Association Class 1 Recharter.
Being enacted by the legislature, the Student Government Association of Montclair State University Incorporated. Whereas South Asian Student Association, SASA, class one organization of the SJA, has been
just keep
082.
Whereas South Asian Student Association would like to be chartered as a class one organization of the Student Government Association, and whereas South Asian Student Association would be a great benefit to Montclair State University undergraduate campus community, and whereas South Asian Student Association would like to receive a charter for the fall 2019 to spring 2021 time period. Be it resolved that the South Asian Student Association receives a charter from the fall 2019 to spring 2021, submitted by Javonna Watkins, SGA legislator, April 15th, 2019.
Author's report?
No report.
Questions for the author? Organization report. So, you guys have 6 minutes to give your presentation. I'll give you one at the 5 minute mark whenever you're ready.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jasmine Thomas. I'm currently the secretary of the South Asian Student Association, and we're a class one organization of the SGA. Our general body meetings are Wednesday from 3:30 to 5 p.m. in UN 2004. So, this is our e-board. Rupa Mitra, our president, who can't be here right now because she has a family emergency. Rucha Shah is our Vice President, and Lisa Valia, our Treasurer, and I'm Secretary Jasmine Thomas. Justin Gantiam, he's our internal PR, Kevin Nai, our external PR, Rohan Gandhi, our historian, and Yash Patel, our culture chair. So what is SASA? The purpose of the South Asian Student Association is to promote awareness of the different South Asian cultures by organizing events that involve both traditional and non-traditional events and activities. We participate in charitable activities throughout the year, as well as donating fundraiser profiting South Asian Student Association. South Asian Student Association likes to bring together diverse cultures at Montclair State University by co-sponsoring various activities. So we do charity work with Cry America, which is an organization in India that stands up for child rights. So after the whole semester and last semester, we raised over $324. We also partake in APIH Month, which is Asian Pacific Islander Heritage Month, where we co-sponsor with all Asian arts to partake in events and show our culture to each other. So our senior advisor is Ruthie Shaw. Our faculty advisor is Professor Ram Mishra. We have 49 active members, and the number of events that we had in the fall are 14. The number of events that we had in the spring are 19. And the bonus points for the fall semester, we had 6 from Breed Collab, Proud Red Hawk, Educational Events, Full Health, Maxed Out, and Perfect 10. In the spring, we currently have 12. From Accepted Students Day, Food Inclusivity, and Town Hall. So our fall Red Hawk accreditation points are 24, so it makes us up to tier one.
For the fall, this is our breakdown for the fall semester. One of our biggest events was Diwali, where we had outside schools perform an inclusive food. That's where we spent the most money. And then for the spring, our biggest event was Holi, where we also had inclusive food, and the colors were also expensive, so that's where we spend most of our money.
So for the co-sponsorships for the fall 2018, for our events, we co-sponsored with UASO, Japan Club, Mufasa, Video Production Club, MSDO, and Lambda Tau Omega Sorority, and they're all classes 1, 2, 3, and Greek Life. For the events that we co-sponsored with, there were Japan Club, UASO, MSDO, Mufasa, Montclair Animal Activists, Lambda Tau Omega Sorority, and Sigma Delta Tau Sorority, and that's class 1, 2, 3, and Greek Life. For the spring semester, a lot more orgs co-sponsored with us, as well as we co-sponsored with them. So it's Lambda Tau Omega, Lambda Theta Phi, Japan Club, MSDO, UASO, KSA, Mufasa, MSB, SGA, Ladies First, Delta Sigma Iota, MSCC, Complexion, and MSU Rec for KSA, which are class 1, 2, 3, Greek Life as well. For other orgs that we co-sponsored with Lambda Tau Omega, Japan Club, Mufasa, UASO, KSA, MSB, Montclair Animal Activist, Theta Phi Alpha, MSU Acapella, MSDO, which are class 1, 2, 3, and Greek Life. So our biggest event of the fall semester is Diwali. So this is the Festival of Lights, where we bring in different schools. We did it differently this year, so we brought in 3 different outside schools to come compete for a prize. And so we had different dances to show their culture, and we also had 3 amazing judges, which were Emma Rush, Joe Davis, and Amanda Rusikis.
He's qualified.
So one of our big events for the spring semester is our second annual Bazaar Night, so we have a minute video to play.
Thank you.
our biggest event of the spring semester was our third annual Holi Festival. So this time we also had three outside schools come. We had Fordham Fallock, we had Stony Brook Brungra, and we had PC&J Sathya. So they all performed. And we also, this is a festival of colors to bring into the spring semester and introduce the spring weather to everyone, because we're all having winter this whole time. So this is when we throw colors at each other and have fun with. Also, this is during APIH month, so all the Asian orgs were there, and so we all had fun together. So this is just a couple of pictures. More pictures. So moving forward, we believe we should stay a class one organization because we continuously strive to make our events and GBFs inclusive and diverse through food, music, and activities. We keep building up our membership, and we spread awareness of our culture, but we cater to the campus community. Thank you for your time.
Questions for the organization? Yep. Adonis. Okay, you go first.
Oh, wait, just kidding.
Okay.
Now it's on the thing that I need.
Besides the Holi event, which other event was the biggest event just for MSU students you guys hosted?
We had Bazaar Night. So it's our version of the Bazaar Night that they host in India.
The
mm-hmm. Yes.
How many people attended?
We had 100 people for that event.
James?
Can you just go back to the budget breakdown?
For the fall semester?
Okay. Any other questions for the organization? Seeing none. Okay. Committee report.
Four zero one positive recommendation.
Questions for the committee. Debate and discussion on this bill. Yep.
I see that you guys are very involved with all campus. What are you guys doing for our campus community?
Our events are mostly. We cater first to the MSU's campus, and we ask them to come perform as well. So we have performances from Montclair State Bangra. So we include our school first before we go to other communities. So make sure that we have MSU involved and make sure they're there at our events.
Kevin?
A follow-up on that one with the Diwali show. We also had Japan Club do a piece as well to perform there. I forget what it was, but it was really awesome.
Jamie?
I'm just kind of interested in learning more about the, I guess it would be like your philanthropy, the one that was, I know there was like a little loan before that was like in India or something, right?
That one?
Thank you. No, like the, it was like on the slides, so like your philanthropy, that one, the other one. It's just interesting to like hearing more about what.
So this organization is just for children in India. So they, in India, more children are a minority. So this, when we fundraise, the money goes to them and towards their education so they can be able to go to school. And it helps them like get clothes and get food. And so it helps them get better.
Kevin?
The follow-up question I have, how many of you have seen Slumdog Millionaire? Raise your hand.
What?
Slumdog Millionaire? How you guys did? So basically, if you have seen that movie, do you see the children on the streets begging for money and doing all this cruel stuff? That does happen in India. And so what this organization does is try to take those children out from the streets and give them an education, food, and home to live in. So that's what they're trying to do, is trying to provide better homes for children who don't have any.
Donis?
Are you guys doing something for nearby areas, not just India? Or that is just...
We specifically did Cry America this past 2 years.
Is it always, like, could you guys change it, like, every 7 years, or is this
how? We haven't recently. We've been doing this one for a long time.
Jean? Okay. Anything else in debate and discussion? Joe?
So SASA is probably, in my opinion, one of the... one of the most inclusive organizations of the SGA, especially in-house. Oftentimes organizations, y'all see them, they come up here and then that's it. SASA makes a conscious effort to invite SGA e-board, legislators and things like that. Personally, I think myself and Emma have attended quite a few events from them. They were always one of the first to make sure that they remember about the legislators, about the e-board and that kind of thing. It's a really nice, it's a nice thing to see in an organization.
David.
I just got to personally say that SASA has probably had one of the biggest comeback stories that I've kind of experienced, like, kind of ever, because I know they had a rocky start, but after, you know, consulting them and really talking and working with them, I've really seen them really grow as an organization. Y'all are now, like, much stronger leaders, and I've really seen that reflect on, you know, the community, and now you guys are really working hard to, really just provide for the community and also for those in India as well. Commend the hard work.
Kevin?
As being part of SAS, as a legislator, as well as your internal PR and a bunch of stuff, and your privilege, at the same time, we had a very rough start with everything, as David said, I think, but I'm glad that we all stuck together and as a family to get everything through and kind of make it better for everybody.
Emma?
As an organization, I think they really understand the importance of being in communication with the vice president's office and their director. We have a lot of the times that even our class one organizations have never stepped into my office. I'd go to theirs, but they don't introduce themselves to me. I don't have like a relationship with the organization. And that goes for when good things are happening and when bad things are happening too. They've never been one to, if something happened with their organization that wasn't positive, to hide it from the SGA and to kind of figure it out and do something on their own. They've always brought it forward. And I think that's super refreshing to have an organization that is as transparent as this administration has tried to be with the campus community.
Yep.
I was gonna say something along the line that they've always been in the office through good and bad times. And they've always, like everyone's saying, they've always been present and always been in a structure level working and things supposed to do. And also the whole week comes pretty bad.
You must be getting a lot of powder on it.
All right, anything else in debate and discussion? Seeing none, we need a two-thirds majority vote in order for this bill to pass. All those in favor? All those opposed? All those abstaining? Bill passes. Congratulations. Okay. So now considering Bill S-2019-083, United Asian American Student Organization Class 1 Rechartering.
Being enacted by the legislature, the Student Government Association of Montclair State University Incorporated, that whereas Unified American Asian Student Organization would like to be chartered as a Class 1 organization under the Student Government Association, and whereas the Unified American Asian Student Organization would be a great benefit to Montclair State University undergraduate campus community, and whereas Unified American Asian Student Organization would like to receive a charter for the fall 2019 to spring 2021 time period, be it resolved that Unified American Asian Student Organization receives a charter from fall 2019 to spring 2021, submitted by Javon Boggins, SGA legislator, April 13th, 2019.
Author's report.
No report.
Questions for the author. Emma?
Put information to the author. The way that the bill's written is Unified American Asian Student Organization, and the way that the organization presents themselves is Unified Asian American Student Organization. So point of information to the organization, what is the name that you go by?
Unified Asian American Student Organization is what we go by.
Oh, Elshmer?
Formal amendment.
Okay. Okay, so back into author's report. Can I make the motion?
Yes, I'd like to make the motion to change the name to Unified Asian American Student Organization.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we need a two-thirds majority vote in order for these amendments to be adopted. All those in favor? All those opposed? All those abstaining? Amendments adopted. Okay. Anything else in the author's report? Or questions for the author?
Author's report.
Just on the slideshow, it says their charge period is fall 2019 to spring 2020, but on the bill it says fall 2019 to spring 2021. Is there supposed to be? Is there a threshold?
Point of clarification, the bill is correct.
Okay. All right, any other questions for the author? Okay, organization report. So you guys have 6 minutes to give your presentation. I'll give you a one at the 5-minute mark, so whenever you're ready.
Hello everyone, my name is Kulin Huang and I am the president of Unified Asian American Student Organization, otherwise known as UASO. We are an classroom organization of the SGA and we are here for the renewal of our charter. Our mission statement. UASO, as a class one organization of the Student Government Association, was founded in 2002. The purpose of this organization is to unify all of Montclair State University's Asian American students, as well as anyone interested in learning about the Asian and Asian American cultures, traditions, and experience. We have our general body meetings on Wednesdays from 3 to 4 p.m. in University Hall, room 3050. This is the executive board. As I mentioned, I am the president. My vice president is Bianca Trinidad, treasurer Caleb Poe, secretary Jamie Sandig, events coordinator Jessica Schlimmer, organizational liaison is Dominic Salar, public relations Maria Castrina Ramirez, historian Christine Jewel Galvez, and culture chair Jacob Tang. We have 9 executive board members, 1 advisor, which is Dr. Sudha Wadwani, and we have 112 active general members. In order to become an active member, you have to attend 5 events and or general body meetings per semester. And that's how we calculate that. So how do we differ from other orgs on campus? Where other cultural orgs strive to spread the awareness of one culture throughout the MSU community, UASO opens their arms to all Asian American cultures who have not been currently represented at MSU. In previous years, UASO solely hosted APIH Month on campus. Starting spring 2017, UASO brought together the other 8 API orgs, SASA, Japan Club, Mufasa, KSA, and newly included Montclair State Bangra, along with the Department APEC, Asian Pacific Islander Caucus, to create the APIH Committee. Thus together, we collaborate and host events almost every day of the month of April to celebrate our culture and heritage as part of the AAPI community. How we benefit the community. UASO provides awareness and a safe space for the wide diversity of student body here at MSU to learn about the vast Asian cultures and traditions. We also provide members with the opportunity to attend the East Coast Asian American Student Union, otherwise known as ECASU. ECASU is a 501c3 nonprofit organization whose mission is to inspire, educate, and empower those interested in Asian American and Pacific Islander issues. These are all the events that we hosted in the fall, and our co-sponsors are listed below. Our biggest events that we want to know is Bubble Tea Open Mic Night, which is an open mic night, and we serve bubble tea at it, as it's self-explanatory. Our next is Global Village, which is a co-sponsor-heavy event where we showcase foods from all different cultures. And our biggest event for the fall is Battleground, which is a talent-based competition in which we raise money for our charity. And for this year, we donate all our money towards APEN, which is Asian Pacific Environmental Network. These are the spring events that we're hosting this semester. Our biggest events for these semesters include Bubble Tea Open Mic Night again, as it's a semesterly event. Charity volleyball event, in which we have a charity line which we try to raise money for, also APEN, as we said before. And then I want to note our events for APIH Month, which is APIH Luncheon, Cultural Food Extravaganza, and our biggest event of the year, Asian Pacific Islander Heritage Festival, otherwise known as APIH Fest. Here's a list of our future events that we want to host in the next year. Bands of Sip and Paint is more of an arts and craft activity where we paint bands. We allocated $150 to get the fans itself and art supplies such as paint and brushes. Stay Woke is more of an educational event where we want to highlight the issues happening in Asia. We're allocating $50 for snacks and refreshments. Our next future event is Polynesian Culture Festival. We're spending $170 on supplies for any activities related to Polynesian culture. So Polynesia is a Pacific Islander, country. So we want to highlight more of the Pacific Islander culture on campus, as we already do a lot of Asian culture along with the other APIA orgs. And then for Voices of the Future, we want this to be a more panel event where we bring in speakers and alumni to talk about the career path as an Asian American, how like they went through their careers.
So here is a budget report of some of our events that this is a diversity of events like social, cultural, and educational. So we have Mid-Autumn Festival where we requested 200 and spent 194.86. We had 92 attendees. For Bubble Tea Open Mic Night, one of our semesterly events, we requested 381 and spent 355 with 196 attendees. And Battleground, which is the biggest event of the fall,
we requested 985, spent 981, and had 230 attendees, and raised $523. For Asian Dessert Workshop, which is a spring event, we requested $200, spent the $200, and had 85 attendees. APIH Fest, which is the biggest event, we requested 13,905, and the actual cost is 14,200. The reason why we don't have enough money requested is because we don't have enough money in our security, so we're mainly getting the rest of the money from co-sponsorships, and we have an estimated number of attendees of 350 people.
Here's our Red Hawk accreditation report for the fall, because the spring hasn't been calculated yet. We currently placed in tier 1 with 23 points. We have 17 hosted events, 7 co-sponsored. We use 90% of our budget, and our bonus points are listed on the screen. Why should your org receive a charter? You also should receive a charter because, as mentioned in our mission statement, it advocates to be a voice for Asian cultures who have little to no representation, while also opening our eyes to of our members to richer diversity. Thank you.
Okay. Questions for the organization? All right, seeing that. Committee report?
400, positive unofficial recommendation.
Okay. Questions for the committee? Debate and discussion on this bill? Emma?
Point of information to the legislature. Would you mind turning around and looking at all of the membership? Would you mind waving to them if you're a member? You ask them.
Wow. Anything else in debate and discussion? All right. Seeing none, we need a 2/3 majority vote in order for this bill to pass. All those in favor? All those opposed? All those abstaining? The bill passes. Congratulations. All right. Okay, so just leave quietly and that'd be great. all right, so now considering bill S-2019-084, MSU Players Class 1 Rechartering.
Be enacted by the legislature of the Student Government Association of Montford State University Incorporated that whereas MSU Players would like to recharter as a Class 1 organization under the Student Government Association, and whereas MSU Players would be a great benefit to the Montford State undergraduate campus community, and whereas MSU Players would like to receive a charter for the fall 2019 to spring 2021 time period, be it resolved that MSU Players receives a charter from the fall 2019 to spring 2021, submitted by Giovanna Boggins, SGA Legislator, April 15th, 2019.
All right. Author's report?
No report.
Questions for the author? All right. Organization report. So, you'll have 6 minutes to give your presentation. Okay. One at the 5 minute mark. Whenever you're ready, go for it.
Okay. So, hi everyone. We are MSU Players and we're reapplying for our Class 1 charter for the 2019-2020 school year. So, our mission as an organization on campus is to provide performance opportunities to everyone, no matter the major. We also strive to be a learning ground to teach people about the art forms, whether it be dance, singing, acting, any of the above, stage management. We also provide resources for students to creatively express themselves, and we hope that that environment encourages a lot of people to try something new.
All right, so here are some of our shows that we've done this year. We do a musical, we have a comedy, a classic. We have shows that are all over the board so that people can get different types of shows like and experience them. We have a dance show, and we also have a lot of shows that are written by students, such as our One Acts Festival and our musical review this year.
So this year in the fall, we had five co-sponsorships, and then in the spring, we had around 7, so we had 12 in total. We have a really great relationship with a lot of performance-based organizations on campus like MSU Acapella and Montclair State Dance Company. And in the future, we hope to reach out to more cultural-based organizations as well as new incoming organizations to help them out.
Our future events are very much like our current events because we have a nice schedule going around, but we always have open opportunities for students who have more innovations in theater. So for example, we didn't used to do a musical review, which is a student-written musical, but then someone came in with the idea, we thought it was great, and we added it to our roster. So next year, we'd like to do more educational things, such as improv workshops, workshops with theater professionals, which we plan to work with the department on, light setup workshops, because we got new lights this year, thanks to the SGA. and a curtain setup workshop because we set up our own curtains for every single show. We also provide to the community, other than allowing students to have their creative outlet, by fundraising with our ticket sales and just by general donations for various charities throughout the year. So we've made over $1,000 for charity overall. Our member count, we have 9 e-board members. We have 1 advisor, Julie Fleming, who is no longer here. she was here. We have 79 active members and 196 general members. Before you ask what the difference is between an active member and a general member, is there are a lot of people who are doing things throughout the year, but there's also some members who have a very busy schedule in the fall and can't do any shows, but then in the spring, their schedule's a little bit lighter and they want to do a few more shows, or they're very concentrated activities of time. So if you can't make one, you can make another.
As far as our treasurer's report, we've used the majority of our budget, but as you can see, something that we did different this year is in the past we've done all reimbursements, so we just told the directors, you know, don't spend too much over this, and we'll get your money back. But what I've done this year is use a lot of Amazon Prime. I talked to them ahead of time. I said, just get your paperwork in by this specific date, and we were able to use a lot more of our funds that way. And we also were able to start using our ticket sales in order to create fundraising for each of the shows, which has allowed us to have to give to multiple different charities and provide a lot of good benefit.
So it didn't show up on this one, but it's in our thing. The attendance for each of these is about, MILF had around 200 first semester, Rocky Horror had over 600 people attend. Stealing Sondheim, Midsummer, While the Lights Were Out, and the next MILF were all about 200, and Doll's House was about 100.
So as far as our budget report, so for next year's budget, what I mainly did was add to our banquet line, because obviously, you know, banquet's getting more expensive. We took away from the lines that we don't really use as much, like construction, and like our professional fees and programming, and we put a lot into costumes and props, because that's the meat of what a show costs, is costumes and props. We also added to security in order to make sure that we have the correct amount of security for the right amount of time, and to budget for a little extra in case UPD decides that they want to hang around to catch a coffee with the cast or something, you know, you want to charge a little extra. So that's just the general, and we did an increase of about, an increase of 3,900 for the fall semester, and a decrease for the spring semester of $1,750.
So in the fall semester, we scored tier 1 with our accreditation. We received 17 points, and we did receive 3 special accreditation points, which were Proud Red Hawk, Maxed Out, and Greek Collab. And we will be submitting our accreditation this Friday, and hopefully we are going to score tier 1 as well.
We should be uncharted because we're the only organization that strives to bring the magic of theater to the entire student body and not simply theater majors, which is important for people like me who grown up to love theater, but aren't necessarily trying to major in it. Thank you.
All right, questions for the organization? All right, committee report.
300 positive unofficial recommendation.
Questions for the committee? Debate and discussion on this bill? Seeing none, oh, Emma?
I love your performances.
Thank you.
David?
So unfortunately, I know you guys Rocky Horror, like I have heard nothing but great things about it, but unfortunately I've never really had the time to really go through it, but I hear it all the time. Like, you guys really have like the passion. I hear that through the walls. So I really think that because it's like it's
so
at the Nest, correct?
Yes.
So
yes.
Like,
yes.
Those walls are, I don't know, I feel like they're pretty hollow, but
yeah.
I hear it all the time.
Yeah.
It's, I really like that, and it's really seeing the hard work you guys put into it.
Thanks, David.
Yeah.
Kevin?
I attended one of your events. At first, the acronym kind of scared me, MILF. So, like, I don't know if I want to go to it or not, but after I did, it was really fun. It was a little different than what I used to. I'm more of an introvert when it comes to certain things, but this kind of made me, like, you know, expand out, so thank you for that.
Thank
Carl?
You.
All right, guys, so I'm a part of Players. I came in as a freshman, and Players really did give a little spot for me to go and express my love show gives back to the community. We do amazing with providing students a chance to look into what they love, but also practice what they want to major in. A lot of people do major in production, work on production on shows. There's a lot for everyone, not just people that love theater. There really is a career aspect to it. And I commend your organization. I love you guys.
Thanks, Carla.
Jamie?
So I'll make it quick because everyone else kind of said good things too, but I know a lot of people that are involved in your club, and I know you guys do really great things, and they always talk about how happy they are to be involved with players, just everything that it's given to them, so.
Yep.
Yeah, you guys have definitely become like a necessity to the campus, so thank you.
Anything else in debate and discussion?
I really don't know like what you guys did until now. Like, I heard players at the like bitter game. Now I know what you guys are.
Okay. Anything else in debate and discussion? All right. Seeing none, we need a 2/3 majority vote in order for this bill to pass. All those in favor? All those opposed? All those abstaining? Bill passes. Congratulations. Okay. So just hold up, because we're going to consider your budget.
Just kidding.
Yay. All right. So now considering bill S-2019-068, MSU Players Class 1 Budget.
Be it enacted by the legislature of the Student Government Association of Montford State University Incorporated that, whereas MSU Players, a Class 1 organization of the SGA, has been granted a Class 1 charter for the academic year of 2019-2020, and whereas the organization has submitted a budget request which has been approved by the SGA Treasurer and the President, be it resolved that the attached budget is approved for the 2019-2020 academic school year for MSU Players, submitted by Serafina Argenis, SGA President, April 15th, 2019.
Okay, so we need an author for this bill, so James. Is there a second?
Second.
Do we need a vote? The vote. James, you're now the author of this bill. Okay. Author's report?
No report.
Questions for the author? Organization report? Go ahead.
So I kind of briefly went over this before, but some of the major things is we're taking out a conference line. We haven't had a conference in a minute, and now it's just $1,000, $1,600 it says there, sitting for no reason. Getting line transferred somewhere else, mainly to costumes and props and to security. Other than that, we increased banquet, like I said. Box office, we kept the same. Construction, we took out construction. But we took out construction for the fall semester, and for the spring semester, we decreased it by 200. Co-sponsorships, we increased by 100 for this fall semester, and decreased by 100 the spring semester, so just trying to make that even, both being 400, trying to make our ourselves be more included on campus and more involved on campus, because we feel like we have a lot to give being a Class 1 organization to the lower to the organizations that don't have as big of a budget. Costumes props, like I said, we increased that a lot by 1,700 for the fall semester, bringing that 2,400, and for the spring semester, we increased it by 100, so now it's 1,400 for the spring semester. For dance show, we increased that by 200 because we did reach to our overall budget today this year. And something awesome about dance show is like dance show is just a series of bunch of dances, and each dance can have up to like 10 or 15 different students. Each dance can have completely different students. So every year that we do dance show, we can include more and more students. It's really a growing show, which is really cool. It gets a lot of students involved. But with that comes more costumes and props, and every student that comes more comes another expense. That's why we want to increase that line. Equipment repairs, we're keeping the same so that we can use that for our new lights that we bought, just in case anything happens, like a light bulb blows, which happens all the time. For historian, we increased $50 because we want to do more with like a billboard and kind of have a more of like a reminder of where players came from, because it actually has a really rich history here on our campus. As far as improv, we also increased that by $50 for the fall semester and decreased it by $100 for the spring semester, making it an even 500 in both semesters because we do the same amount of MILF shows both semesters, so I don't see why it shouldn't be equal. And also, we get custom shirts for those shows, so we do need at least 500 for those lines. Office expenses, we increased it by 50 because we want to get a printer eventually. And programming, we decreased by 50 because we don't do much programming.
as far as like food at our events or anything. Professional fees, we're trying to stay away from using professionals outside campus because we really want to give those opportunities to students on campus. We used to bring professionals in to be like our music director or our directors for certain shows, but as students are coming up, they still have the skills, they have the managing skills, they're able to do it. We think it's a really good opportunity for them to have those, to be able to be in those leadership positions. For publicity, we took another 50 out because we weren't using that as much this semester. Rocky Horror, we did increase by 400 because that's another show that, like you said, like it's very well known. The more that we're able to put into it, the more students we're able to get involved, the more people are able to come. You know, it's just a growing event. Royalties, we decreased by 500 because we do like Shakespeare shows sometimes, and that doesn't cost in royalties, so there's no need for the whole 3,500. And for security, we increased it by 1,500 because something we do for Rocky Horror, we always have security for them. But 500 is not enough to cover like maybe two nights with Rocky. That's it, because we do an 8 p.m. and midnight show. So we increased that line a lot because we want to make sure that we have security for exactly how much we actually need it for. Yeah.
Questions for the organization?
Yeah.
Elsewhere.
Is the cost of the venue included in the banquet line?
Yeah, so cost of venue this year was $4,600 something, and as you can see, our line is $500, so that doesn't include transportation or a DJ for the event, so that's why we wanted to add another $1,000 just to, you know, make it a little more comfortable for next year.
Any other questions for the organization? Nope. Committee report.
She has a 500 positive recommendation.
Questions for the committee? Debate and discussion on this bill? All right, seeing none, we need a two-thirds majority vote in order for this bill to pass. All those in favor? All those opposed? All those abstaining? Bill passes. All right. Ooh, yeah.
Y'all don't need to clap when the budgets go up.
Okay. Now considering bill S-2019-066, Black Student Union Class 1 Budget.
The unified legislature of the Student Government Association of Montclair State University Incorporated that whereas Black Student Union, BSU, a Class 1 organization of the SGA, has been granted a Class 1 charter for the academic year 2019-2020, and whereas the organization has submitted a budget request which has been approved by the SGA Treasurer and President, be resolved that the attached budget is approved for the 2019-2020 academic school year for BSU, submitted by Serafina Argenis, SGA President, April 15, 2019.
All right. So we need an author for this bill, James. Is there a second?
Second.
James, you are now the author of this bill. Author's report. Questions for the author? Organization report.
All right. So this is going to be a kind of like a pre-statement for every budget that goes up. The way we did the budget, Serafina and I, was I looked at the previous budget, the expense and the budget they had, and to see that they really spend their money, and also look at the reason behind the lines they're given to make sure that whatever was approved or not approved had a backing behind it. So every budget that's going up right now has been modified from what was originally given to me. So they will explain the reasons behind the budget increases or decreases.
Right. So we have a total of 9 officers. I'll start with the fall semester. So for Harvest Fall, which is one of our biggest events for the fall semester, we increased that line by $350. For the fall semester, for Harvest Ball, we actually had that event catered, but being that they are cracking down, Charles is cracking down on events that are over 75 people, we're definitely gonna need a lot more money for just to cover the cost for food, decorations, table supplies, etc. So we increased that by $350. As far as our programming line for the fall, we actually decreased it by $500, and we wanted to use that $500 that we decreased it by and put it into our security line. So as you can see, our security line increased by $500. Just for instance, our first major event of the semester, the fall semester, it was called our jump off. It was our welcome back barbecue. The cost of security ended up totaling up to a total of $960 for that one event. And our fall line last semester was $800. So I just wanted to make sure that the next executive board has enough money for not only just that event, but you know, if we want to throw another major event, obviously we're going to need more money for Harvest Fall as well. So we'll have those funds for that. what else? As far as publicity, it shows as decreased for the fall semester. However, we just split the publicity line in half for, we made it a yearly line, And we put $400 in the fall line as well as $400 in the spring line, just so that we have, we can have, make items for our general body members. We're thinking about doing t-shirts for next year and other things for both semesters. What's next? For our spring, we start the spring semester off with Black Heritage Month, which is February, and we host a series of events as well as co-sponsored events with the E3 Coalition, which is all of the cultural organizations on this campus. $1,100 for this spring semester. I started doing the math for it, and we had that amount only allowed us to have one major event for the month of February. You think about it, $1,100 split between the 75 to 80 people that consistently come to our general body meetings. That's about $14 that we can distribute to each member, and that's definitely not enough for that month. So we increased it by $300 so that we could hold another major event or just incorporate maybe some guest speakers for the month of February, because we do a lot of celebrating that month. let's see. For programming, for the spring semester, we increased that by $500, just so we can have enough money for food for our events. Food is very expensive, charcoals is very expensive, and we just want more food, more decorations, more supplies for our events. And like I said, as far as the publicity line, we just split that up and made that a yearly line. And last but not least, office expenses, we moved that from the fall to the spring, just because we found that this past semester we already had enough supplies in our office left over from the last year. So it'll be easier for us to just move it to the spring semester so that, you know, once we're low on supplies, you know, they can just re-up in the spring semester rather than, you know, not using the money in the fall. That's it.
Okay. Questions for the organization? Yep.
Where are you purchasing your food?
For what, like a specific event?
Yeah, you just say that it's very expensive and...
She can answer.
Yeah, so this semester we use charcoals a lot. Just because, like I said, they are cracked down on events that are over 75 people. We have to use them as a vendor. In the previous semester, the fall semester, we used for our Marcus Garvey dinner, which was our major event in February, we used a vendor called Cafe Move because we wanted Caribbean food and Charles couldn't accommodate that. And we were able to because the rule wasn't implemented. We purchased food for our barbecue in the fall at a supermarket, made it ourselves. Rented out a grill. What other event did we have? Harvest Ball, we had an outside caterer do our Harvest Ball food as well. Not remembering his name, but he's an outside caterer. He's a local caterer.
Any other questions for the organization? Okay, committee report. Or Joe.
No, it's okay to your committee report.
Okay. Committee report?
600 positive.
Questions for the committee? Debate and discussion on this bill?
No, I'll speak.
Okay, Joe.
If I'm recognized. So I just wanted to clarify real quick, because of policies with the university, organizations have to use Chartwells. It's a lengthy process to get out of that. It's been something that the e-board has tried to tackle with trying to roll back the use of Chartwells, but it's a monopoly really on campus in the way the policies are, and it's really the only way student organizations can get food. So that, and it's expensive, so that's kind of why when they go up for budgets, they do have to make sure that they do put a good amount aside to deal with Chartwells.
Anything else in debate and discussion? All right, seeing none. So we need a 2/3 majority vote in order for this bill to pass. All those in favor? All those opposed? All those abstaining? Bill passes.
Thank you.
Too much going on. All right, so now considering Bill S-2019-067, Latin American Student Organization Class 1 Budget.
The International Legislature of the Student Government Association, Montclair State University Incorporated, that whereas Latin American Student Organization, LASO, Class 1 Organization of the SGO, has been granted a Class 1 charter for the academic year of 2019-2020, and whereas the organization has submitted a budget report, which has been approved by the SGO Treasurer and President, be resolved that the attached budget is approved for the 2019-2020 academic school year for LASO, submitted by Serafina Algin, Trustee President, April 15, 2019.
Okay, so we need an author for the bill.
Right there.
Oh, Jack.
Motion to
take authorship
of this bill.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Jack, you're now the author of this bill. All right. Are you ready? Author's report?
No report.
Questions for the author? Okay. Organization report? After you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Annie Torino. I'm the treasurer for the Latin American Student Organization. Pretty much, I'm gonna go start in the fall. So right here in the fall and in the spring semester, we decided to ask for an increase of $100 for our dance troupe line, because that's our Latinismo dancing, which is like the dancing we have for the organization. And it grew a lot this year. We have now like about 11 girls and 7 guys, I believe. And one thing that happened was that a lot of the dancers had to pay for their costumes out of pocket. And one thing that we try to do for our cultural dances is that actually buy like cultural attire for it. So like, you know, we do want to help our members, and like at the end of the day, they're joining our dancing, so we want to help them out and not have them have to pay out of pocket as often when it comes to the cultural dances. Then for our historian line, we also asked for a $100 increase for fall and spring semester. And for that historian line, one thing that the EVA incorporated this year that like a lot of the members we got good feedback from it, was that we tried to be like a member of the month, like appreciating the members, and we were paying it out of pocket, like buying them like a small prize or something that they really like. Like it will go from like a little like backup charger and like something like that we had like from publicity in the office that said LASO on it. So like we just asked them for the $100, you know, so like buy them little gifts as like with the member that we choose for the month. Then we asked for an increase of $150 for our LASO prom. As it was mentioned before, when it comes to like big events now, Chartwells is, you know, we had to buy food from them, but in the past something we've done is like buy cultural foods for cultural restaurants, but now it's not something that's gonna be as flexible in the future. And LASO prom tends to be a big event, which is last semester, it was about almost 300 people that we got. So we're just asking for a little bit of more money for it, so we can have more flexibility when it comes to actually, you know, getting food for our members that attend and the campus community. Then for Latin Pride Month, we're asking for an increase of $300. Latin Pride Month is usually in the fall semester. And we just wanna that increase because overall, we wanna do more informational events when it comes to like Latin Pride Month, because a lot of the members, something that we hear in comments, like, oh, like even some of them, I was speaking with them recently, is that they wanna get their citizenship, but they don't know how to go about it. So we're gonna get the speakers on that, that can actually host an information session, guide us through the application. Some things that we hosted this semester was like with DACA, we brought in speakers, helping them with stuff. So having that $300 increase allowed us to actually bring in more professionals, and something that the members actually have like as well. We also brought like a financial speaker, like a lot of us are not like good when it comes to financial literacy, so that's something they like them as well. So we would like to host more events like that during Latin Pride Month, helping our members. And then, Then our Latin coaching education is a 750 increase because it is our 50th year anniversary for LASO being on campus next year. So we want to host, like, again, like I said, like more bigger events, like let the campus community, you know, like host it, then let them know that we've been here for like 50 years and, you know, like remember that. And sorry if I'm going a little bit fast. World Fair, we're just asking for a 50 increase because what happened, since it happened at World Fair, it's actually happening tomorrow, is that a lot of like the campus community attends, and we just like to get a little bit extra money so we can actually like serve more to like the big campus crowd that actually attends the World Fair. And yeah, that's about it. Sorry. Try to go fast.
It's all good. All right, questions for the organization? Committee report? Check.
This bill received a 600 positive recommendation.
Okay, some questions for the committee. All right, debate and discussion on this bill.
On a recommended organization, this is a really big budget, and
spent
it's a lot for you to be handling this amount of money, and I really like commend you guys for doing such a good job with it. And also congratulations on 50 years. That's like really significant.
Thank you.
Anything else in debate and discussion, Carla?
I really like the initiative that you had to bring more professionals on. I feel like one of the things that I really like about LASO is how you guys try to just educate people, especially on something like DACA that I think is really prominent and should really be talked about more. I want to commend you.
Anything else? All right, seeing none, we need a two-thirds majority vote in order for this bill to pass. All those in favor? All those opposed? All those abstaining? Bill passes. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. I know it's a lot, but try to stay with us, please. If you need to step out to grab some water, food, or anything like that, do so. But we don't have too much longer to go.
Yeah.
Y'all are great.
Just love. Thank you.
All right, so considering Bill S-2019-076, yep. Montclair State Dance Company Class 1 Budget.
Yep.
Being enacted by the legislature of the Student Government Association of Montclair State University, Incorporated, that whereas Montclair State Dance Company, MSDC, Class 1 Organization of the SGA, has been granted a Class 1 charter for the academic year of 2019-2020, and whereas the organization has submitted a budget request which has been approved by the SGA Treasurer and President, to be resolved that the attached budget is approved for the 2019-2020 academic school year for MSDC, submitted by Serafina Argenis, SGA President, April 15, 2019.
Okay, we need an author for this bill. Jack?
Motion to take authorship of this bill.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Jack, you are now the author of this bill. Organization report. Author's report.
No report.
Questions for the author. Okay, organization report.
All right. Okay, so this semester, we are asking for a couple different increases within our organization's budget. This year we were faced with a lot of problems with money not being able to afford things that we needed for our organization. So I'm gonna start with the top and go down. So we are asking for a $500 increase for our banquet. We, this year, were not able to afford Chartwells at all, so we had to find ways around Chartwells by using potlucks, so having our members bring food to their own banquet. Just because Chartwells is so expensive. So we're hoping that a $500 increase there will help us afford food, as well as the decorations and everything else that we need for our banquet. We are then asking for an extra $50 in co-sponsorships. We like to help out as many orgs as possible. This semester we were only able to, I believe, co-sponsor with 4 or 5 money-wise. Other than that, we co-sponsor participation for nearly every event that we're asked for. And we would just like to provide more money to the organizations that help us with everything that we do. Next would be the costume line. We're asking for a $1,500 increase there. It's pretty hard to run a dance organization and not buy costumes, especially since our showcase is at the end of the year. And we have nearly 50 members who are purchasing costumes and asking for help to be reimbursed because they're in 14 dances and can't afford costumes for all 15 of them. Next would be our dance education education line. We're decreasing that by $50. For the spring semester and increasing by 50 for fall semester. We found that having this line, having three different people come in at $100 each is what works for our organization and what helps our organization thrive. So by decreasing and increasing, we feel like it's kind of an even amount just to kind of help ourselves out both semesters. Entertainment. We're only increasing that by about $25. We have taken into consideration all of the events that we have that require a DJ and or a photo booth. And in total, like, it just comes out to the $1,075. And that's including our banquet as well. So in reality, like, it's kind of all for our members, once again, like, everything that we do. Everything we want to be able to provide them, we just weren't able to do this semester with the budget that we had. We are discontinuing the line completely, so that's also decreasing by $1,250. Our historian line was decreasing by $50. We didn't feel that it was necessary to have that much money in there. Our office expenses, we are increasing by $50 each semester. We are not really able to purchase anything for our office that'll help our office. Everything is kind of like from the dollar store. It kind of just breaks. We get pens and like paper clips, but that's really about all we can get with the budget. Anything else that's from Amazon, like, we can't even afford a stapler right now because our entire $25 is gone. Because we need pens.
Let alone the staples.
Yeah. Our programming line has been increased by $250 for the spring semester, so that both semesters come to a total of $450. Our event coordinator has really set a high standard this year for our events, and in creating mass amounts of events with such a little bit of money. We figured that if we were able to provide more money for our event coordinator, that we would be able to provide more for our members, which is our goal here. So by increasing the budget for that, we're able to provide more for our events, more food, more products. So like if we're doing a little basket, we're able to bring more in, more members. Publicity, we are asking for an increase of $800 each semester. We are not currently able to get many good things with our publicity line. We've had to get pens and backings for phones for the past couple of years, and I think this year we were able to find drawstring bags, but that's really about all we've been able to get, and we would like to do a lot more for the MSU community by providing things like shirts or cups even. So we feel like it would be beneficial to not just our org, but our entire community. For security, we've decreased that by $350. This year we've had a lot of help from SLAM, and we found that with the help from SLAM, we don't really need security as much as we did this year. Spring showcase, we've increased by $225. This year we ran into a huge problem with Memorial Auditorium raising prices on us, so we weren't able to afford Memorial Auditorium and our entire showcase without asking for supplemental appropriations. So we figured that the extra $225 would give us a little bit of leeway with things next year. And then we added a line, a prize line. This will help us with events like Showcase and dances that we have, where our members are currently purchasing like baskets and prizes that we give away. And we have eBoard members purchasing baskets that become very costly, especially since we have about 14 baskets just for Showcase results.
Is that it?
Okay. Questions for the organization? Carla?
Could you explain a little bit more? I know you said that you're getting some help from SLAM for security. Is that through co-sponsorship? Is that why you're decreasing it by $350?
We're decreasing security by $350.
Yeah, I'm asking.
Yeah, so CSI provides coverage at the front door, okay, so that officers don't have to be there.
Okay.
Gabrielle?
Oh, Paulette.
Paulette.
We think the $225 for your spring showcase increase is enough.
That is something that we've been asked a lot and that we've been trying to figure out. We do believe it is enough just because our priority for the showcase line is mainly Memorial Auditorium. The rest, like, shirts come from publicity. We have security has its own line, so we don't need to worry about security coming out of that line. And then now that prizes could have its own line, we don't need to worry about that coming out of there either. So we do believe that it will be enough to cover.
Any other questions for the organization? Committee report. Jeff?
This bill received a 600 positive recommendation.
Okay. Questions for the committee? All right, debate and discussion on this bill. All right, seeing none, we need a 2/3 majority vote in order for this bill to pass. All those in favor? All those opposed? All those abstaining? Bill passes.
Okay. 4-9.
I think there are books here, so.
They're not. 4-9.
Okay. Got it. Now considering bill S-2019-049.
We've been asked by the legislature, the Student Government Association of Montclair State University Incorporated, that whereas the Food Advisory Committee, otherwise known as the Dining Committee of the Student Government Association, has noticed the increased need for Red Hawk pantries in the student body on campus, whereas it has come to the Dining Committee's attention that there is a number of food insecure students who attend Montclair State University and use the pantry. Be it resolved that the Student Government Association creates a line of $1,000 per semester to help with the purchase of food and supplies for the Red Hawk pantry, submitted by Jamie Jamie, Chair of Dining Committee, March 28th, 2019.
Okay. Author's report.
So pretty much, I guess there's only a couple of us here that are still from Dining Committee, but in committee, we had a whole conversation about how there's food insecure students on campus, and the SGA, as you guys know, has a lot of money, so it would kind of make sense for us to help out with the pantry and provide them with some money just so they can, you know, properly purchase food for students as well as the other supplies they provide. They provide laundry detergent, they provide like hygiene products, stuff like that. And then I also have Chris Snyder here with me today. So himself as well as Dr. Denor, who's a professor and an advisor in the nutrition department, were conducting a food insecurity survey on campus. So you guys probably all got that in your emails, but I brought him in as well so we can talk a little bit about food insecurity on campus.
Alrighty, thank you. Excuse me. So food security is something that's becoming a growing issue on college campuses, not so much because it hasn't been an issue, but because it's just gaining a lot more attention. Both SGAs and university administrations are paying a bit more attention to it. Montclair's very first real attempt at measuring and recognizing the food insecurity that it has on this campus was a student-led initiative back in 2016. There was a group of students, as a function of a class project, that did a rudimentary food security audit of the campus. They surveyed just shy of 200 students and found that 37% faced food need at least once per month. Excuse me. 10% of that was once per day, 15% was once per week, and the last 12% was at least once per month. So there is a rolling need of food and other supplies for students. That was 3 years ago now. So both to update that number so it is present, but also to add a more robust survey, I led a new bout of research on this issue with Dr. Dinoy. We have surveyed over 600 students. We have responses from them. Our suggestion is now that it is over 42% of students at Montclair State suffer from food security at least once in the semester. We've surveyed them during 2 points in the semester, so it is likely that there's issues both at the beginning or at the end. We do have more evaluation to do on this issue. It's a lot of data. It has just recently been prepared, but given the importance of the issue, we've tried to get a rudimentary account for you. Food insecurity for this measure is persons who don't have enough food or enough variety of food or high quality of food nutritionally at least once per month or on a regular basis. So this is something that's not just, once a day, like once a month or like once in a semester. This is indicative of a more chronic issue. The know, it's over 40%, over 4 in 10 of these students have this need. We anticipate that this number is still a little bit lower than what it might be in reality. It's a lot higher than the 2016 number. It's likely because this number is more accurate than that number, not because it has risen dramatically in the past couple of years. But now that we have an accurate number, this is likely much closer to the real need on the campus.
All right, are there any questions for the author? All right, I guess not. The committee report?
Do you have it?
Okay. Any questions for the committee? Debate and discussion on this bill? Carl?
I would really like to commend the author of the bill as well as the research. I think that this is a very prominent issue and not enough people are speaking out.
I've seen my personal good friends of mine struggle throughout the semester because once they run out of their life on campus, they either don't have a job or they don't make enough or the money has to go other places. So it is important. I think this is a great place to start with it.
I just really want to commend the committee on this. It's really great to see some change happening for the students and impacting quite a large amount of students. I was unaware that we had such a large problem of this. And really, I guess you can call it an epidemic here in Montclair and across the country. So I want to commend the committee and all of you for participating in this. And I would like to say thank you to Chris for coming here today and assisting the SGA in this endeavor.
Thank you, Emma.
I just want to mention that I knew about this bill obviously for a long time. I spoke with Jamie and I spoke with the executive treasurer to make sure that we have this money to be sustained in a budget going further. So it's not just, hopefully it's not just this year. The next corporate budget is going to be continuous and hopefully we can increase it as the years go on.
Anything else in today's discussion on the bill? Seeing none, we need 2/3 majority vote in order for this bill to pass. All those in favor? All those opposed? All those abstaining? Bill passed.
Hey, that gets fine.
Hey, y'all, I have to applaud. But last bill going on right now, so please be aware of this. So, I want to speak really quickly because I have to go. All of these financial policies were brought up at yesterday's town hall meeting. We had the organizations represented there present and confirming the policies. There were a few things that Vince will mention that they had some hesitation on, but after careful discussion and consideration about those issues, they've been resolved. So just speaking about the policies and why we're making them, So all of the organizations that this is actually affecting, so organizations plan and the general, you know, executive board are all in concurrence with the policies that were proposed.